This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Thank you for joining us on Behind the Curtain. In a discussion you'll hear coming up, there's a photo that's kind of made its way around online of a desk that someone had in an office building that after whoever was working there had been fired, they cleaned the desk out, they flipped the desk over, and they just find an excessive amount of bodily fluids underneath of this thing. And we have a discussion coming up of the stuff you found in people's desks, lockers, work trucks after they've been let go, quit, whatever. And I don't know why this reminded me of this. Mike, if you've seen this video, I would not be surprised. I feel like you'd be the one person in here who has seen it. I think to the guy who had this desk and sat at this desk and did the things that he did under the desk to the desk. Have you ever seen the video of that Asian kid caught in the library at college?
I don't think I have.
It was one of the first viral videos of this poor... This kid's got to be an exchange student. His English is broken. He's just as Chinese as an egg roll. And he's sitting in the computer lab in the middle of a library in between the dividers, just looking at porn and handling his business.
Ah!
And this whole group of homies walk up with the flip phone out recording him, being like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And he's like screaming, freaking out, yelling at him. And it reminded me of that.
The other big one that's equally, if not worse, is the blank box, which made its rounds.
Oh,
about,
God, that was way worse than the desk.
Yeah, that maybe one of the worst things the internet has ever created. Well, besides maybe two girls, one cup.
For once, I'm kind of happy I don't know what you're doing.
You're better off not knowing the videos of which we speak.
Well, I'm naive to something. Just, I'm usually pretty good with these things. This one I don't know, and I don't think I want to know.
Here, it's a day changer.
I'm going to write it down. Just Google these two terms, Scott, and it should be the first thing that comes up.
Ah, no, I'm good. No, dude, I'm not doing it on this computer.
It's horrible.
I remember... And it's another radio show, obviously, the Howard Stern Show, but didn't, like, they one time go into Richard Christie's apartment, who was, like, a notorious, like...
He was a compulsive masturbator.
Yeah, and wasn't it just, like, a den of just...
It was a crime scene, yeah.
Disgusting crime scene.
It was Gary that went in there and saw, like, he was just like, there's tissue papers everywhere. It's like, there's, like, paper towels all over the floor.
Yeah.
Ugh, God. Yeah, well, that's what I saw, smelled, and heard people in the midst of... At that Pete booth on Tuesday, you could hear a recap of that. And now, hear a recap of us talking about some dude at a desk who did some stuff, left it behind, and the things that you've seen at your job that people have left behind. I'm Behind the Curtain. Mike, I turned you on this. We didn't have a ton of time. We'll hit this continuing after sports. This photo is not new, but it was just shown to me recently. There was an office somewhere. Mike, is the picture... Can we even put this picture up? Can you link to it with an NSFW?
Is this a real story? Or is this urban legend?
I choose to believe. This is like from...
Where are we getting this from? I don't care either
from
way.
From one of the most...
I'm just curious.
Fact-checked and heavily relied upon sources of the internet, Reddit, and, you know...
Which and what is it?
It is...
It's a story.
Picture.
The story is
there was an office.
Fired.
Guy gets let go.
Let go.
He leaves. Let go, fired. And they go to his desk as they do at an office when someone leaves, and they clean it out and they remove all the stuff from the drawers and all that. And I guess there's like an odor or there's a waft around the desk and the floor. They flip the desk upside down and look underneath of it. And it appears this man had been enjoying himself at work quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned this in the meeting.
Yeah. And I showed the photo, and we have audio of Rick looking at the photo. If I can find the audio. There it is. Yeah, it's really bad.
He was painting maps of Hawaii on the underside of his desk.
Oh, God. It looked like the Himalayas.
Over and over again.
Over and over again.
Trying to get it right.
I tell you what. I had no idea Peter North worked at a tax preparation agency. It was horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. This desk, this condition of this thing. And it reminded me of a job that I had where a guy got let go and they cleaned out his desk and they found newspaper clippings for like massage services and escorts and stuff in this drawer. Like a lot of them. Like way too many to keep at work. And I was thinking, like, there's got to be places that you've worked at that someone has left or gone and you've gone through their stuff, locker, desk, and you found some stuff. Someone that was let go and didn't have a chance to come back and clean it out.
Mm-hmm.
Big old tray full of yayo, bag of grass, pills, what have you. Weapon?
Weapon.
The code word's whiskey.
Definitely a few desks in my past that are caked with boogers underneath.
Oh, God. The link is up to the desk that we were discussing prior to sports. There's a link on Reddit. A guy was fired from an office, and when they went over to his desk, well, they flipped his desk upside down, and this guy apparently was really enjoying his job way too much. Because the underside of his desk, I don't even know how to describe this biological nightmare. But if you told me that this was a desk used in some sort of naughty after school porn special,
yeah,
I'd believe you. You know, naughty tutors, something like that.
Yeah, he must have had his own office, right?
Like, had to have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the underside of this is disgusting. So we asked you, what have you found at your place of business, should someone have been let go? You crack open a drawer. Oh, my God. It's filled with black tar heroin. Oh, look at that. A severed human hand. 410-338-1098. Mike Anderson from the Anderson Agenda.
We'll have to take a peek under Rick's desk when we go to the meeting today.
Oh, what?
Never thought about that.
What if it's just all bullet casings and condom wrappers?
What are you insinuating, Mike?
He's got a giant desk. Who knows what goes on underneath there?
And he loves lotion.
Are you insinuating that he's...
I'm just saying, look, there's a giant desk in there, and it's positioned perfectly, too, to where he's facing the door. Nobody can really see what's happening underneath of it.
What if it's just like 50 boxes of fiddle faddle? Just so many boxes.
He's got a coffee maker under. He makes coffee under his desk.
That's really weird. We do need to talk about that.
Yeah, I walk into the meeting the other day, and there's like steam coming up from underneath the desk.
And you heard something like, what the hell is that? No, is that your stomach? Right? What is that sound? Oh, no, I'm making a pot of coffee under my desk.
He is a weird dude, man.
I love him, man. He's honestly one of my favorite people I've ever worked for. But the underneath of the coffee, underneath of the desk coffee was weird.
Totally weird.
Yeah, yeah. So, Mike, you said prior to the break, you had some desks that if someone should find that they work there after you, it's just going to be an orchard of boogers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In the past. And I still do it in my car. I'll wipe them on the floor mat. And then, you know, every few weeks I'll take the floor mat out and, you know, shake them out and knock them off. But that floor mat is just crusted. At least I'm not doing it underneath the car seat. It could be worse.
I told you about the skate shop, Waldorf Allskate, that had, there was a rack of clothes next to the guy that checked you out. And he would pick and wipe on this one shirt. And everybody knew that he did. It just became the booger shirt.
Oh.
And it went from like $19.99 to $14.99. It got down to $2. And no one would buy the damn shirt because everyone knew it was the booger shirt.
The booger shirt.
The booger shirt. Ugh, God. 410-338-1098. Let's see what Greg in Glenwood says. Greg, good morning.
Morning, fellas. How you doing?
What's up?
So kind of closely related to your previous story, we were cleaning out a guy's work van that he actually left the company, and we found a bottle of KY.
Oh, God.
Oh, in the desk?
He was spanking it in the work van, and
in the van.
We all threw it around and played hot potato with it the rest of the day.
Oh, God, that is the hottest call we're going to get.
Turned out.
Oh, my
damn.
God. Mike, run and grab me Rick's bottle of lotion. It just got steamy in here. That's disgusting. Can I ask real quick, why did he get fired? What did he get let go for?
No, he actually left the company. He went to go to a different company on his own.
Ah, so he can go crank elsewhere. That's disgusting. Let's go to Frank and only. Frank, thank you for holding.
Morning.
Hello, Frank.
Yeah, so years ago when I was in the Marine Corps, we had a kid go UA from our unit. He just ran off, didn't want to be in there anymore, I guess.
What's UA stand for?
Unauthorized absence.
Gotcha.
Got
like
it.
AWOL.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we bust open his wall locker, and inside we find like four or five blow-up dolls, and a bunch of pocket toys.
Wow.
And all the necessary accoutrements for enjoying them. It was pretty nasty.
Oh, wow.
God.
He was doing it.
Thank you for your service. And how the guy, You had to be like less disappointed that he ran off, knowing that that type of dude was beside you. You're like, I'm not that bummed out anymore that he beat feet.
That's true. Yep.
Thank you very much for the call, my friend. Ugh, God, it's gross. Ah, here we go. Now we're getting into the juiciness here. Let's talk to Foyt. Am I saying that right? Foyt in Virginia?
Yes, sir.
Very good.
Hello, Foyt.
What's up, guys?
Is that a real name, Foyt?
Yeah, it's a pretty weird one.
Nice.
I was working at this telecom place a couple of years back, and this one guy who got fired for always showing up late and skipping work and all this. He was a great salesman, but there's probably a reason behind that. When they cleaned out his desk, I heard that boss found a crack pipe made out of like some Home Depot wrenches and like all thread, and it was like 10, 15 empty crack vials like in his drawer. So maybe that helped with his sales, because he was a damn good salesman. But you know.
Yeah, right.
Always skipping work and stuff. Yeah, right.
Yeah, do the ends justify the crack means? I mean, if the guy's making his nut each month, then hey, if you got it, smoke it. Right. Did you ever see this guy wandering around? Think to yourself, is Bob on crack, or is he just real fun to be around?
No, I mean, he didn't look like a traditional crackhead. I've lived in Baltimore City, like I know what crackheads look like, but. He looked like just a normal functioning guy, but he'd wander off and go to the bathroom or go to his car like a little bit too much. So after the fact, we kind of put two and two together. It was probably going smoking crack every 2 hours.
Gotcha. He'd go to the bathroom and come back out. Hey guys, I just made a sale.
Freaking
out. And this is a conversation for another time, but man, crack has got to really make you feel good. It's not good. Don't take the stuff. It's super deadly. Yada yada. But man, oh man, if you can be a salesperson and still puff on the rock, not gonna. But maybe when I'm 80, I'm gonna finally smoke a little crack. Let's go to Alex in Baltimore. Alex, thank you for holding. Good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, what's up, Alex?
Morning. So I work with a guy currently who is constantly on like fetish websites.
Yeah, so do we.
Doesn't even really hide it. Just checks them out during the day.
At work.
And don't, open like
Shane.
Open sales pit.
King Shane.
Open sales pit.
Open. I mean, we got a little divider wall about 3 feet tall on three sides. But no, we always see it, and he gets made fun of constantly.
I get like the made fun of, but what is it management intervening or anything like that? Or
guy produces every now and again, so it's just a good conversation.
Like there's women like bound and gagged with ball gags wearing pig masks when you're supposed to be in there, you know, getting some
sales. Yeah, what kind of
done.
Fetish?
Swinger, usually.
Oh,
maybe,
gotcha.
One drink and
married?
Two straws.
Is he married?
I think so, yeah.
Oh! You got yourself a swinger coworker.
Hey there.
Why don't you try and parlay a meeting with him and his wife? You married?
Some tradesies?
You married?
I don't think so.
Swap. Swap it up.
Come on, man.
I don't think so.
Would you be able to watch him have sex with your wife?
I'm not married.
Oh, you're not?
Do you have a girlfriend?
I do, and I would not watch that.
No?
Okay.
Is he stunning looking, this guy? Is he good looking, or is he fat and ugly?
He's real short. Kind of creepy looking.
Creepy. So you wouldn't be able to. Now, have you seen his? Do you know what his wife looks like?
I don't.
No. I think you guys should swap.
Yeah, I think you guys should definitely swap. I mean, you're not nothing to worry about. This guy's all tiny. It's going to be cute. It's like
right. You know, he's probably has a very he's very small in the pants,
micro
so you don't have
penis.
To worry about him. You know, really showing you up.
Yeah, she'll probably giggle a lot. You'll look like a badass afterwards. It's like when a comedian has
a
horrible
point,
opener.
Guys.
You seem 10 times as funny.
See, we're making good points.
Huh?
All right, let us know how it goes.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
We were joined earlier in the week by a woman and her husband. She is Leah Heiss, and she is putting together the first cannabis dispensary in Maryland. And boy, wouldn't as fate have it, it's right around the corner from us, right over there in Hamden. How do you feel about the area? Where it's at, the strip where it's at. That you and I have, we've all driven up and down that stretch of Falls Road. probably 10,000 times to and from the city, to and from the station. And I don't know. I don't know how I feel about where the location. I think there's a bar nearby there that is just Sketch City, USA. But then there's like my favorite Subway and the CVS that I always go into, or the Rite Aid, or whatever the hell it is.
Dimitri's is the bar you're talking about?
That's the one.
That's the one? Yeah, Dimitri's.
Time him out. Dimitri's. But Dimitri, still like to do a field trip there one day.
I've been in there. They have the trough down at the bottom of the bar, which is, you know, historic.
What's the trough for?
I mean, it's just been there forever. What it was used for in the past, Lord only knows.
Maybe, is it a pee trough?
Maybe urine, maybe dip spit. I don't know. Maybe we should Google why.
Dimitri's Tavern. Package
are
goods.
Are there. How do you spell trough, Spiegel?
T R O U G H.
Got it.
That's not just any footrest, it's a trough. Baltimore Sun.
There you go. Wow. Okay. This first damn, there's a whole article.
Yeah, the Pickle Parrot used to have one. Okay, Pickle Parrot right down the street from my house. Baltimore Barn, but if you about a Pickle Parrot, you probably feed an exposed metal trough. You see it, you wonder what the metal trough is doing under the bar. Anyone, surprising large number of watering holes.
The Fresh Flow Trough Spittoon.
It's a fancy way of saying men's only club run by men.
These gutter-like troughs ran the entire length of the bars in certain cities. Fresh water occasionally would rush through to wash away the waste, which was mostly chew and spittle, or in, oh God, some of them were, you would literally not need to get up to go to the bathroom.
That's what I said. So I was right. It was a spittoon, a dip spit, and then sometimes urine.
Wow.
Which is absolutely disgusting.
Oh, man, that is gnarly.
Absolutely disgusting.
That is so gross. God, we have come so far as national social cleanliness. Okay, I got to go in there. I've wanted to go in there forever. I'm just always so sketched out by the people that are either stumbling into, out of, or they're just kind of buzzing around out front like flies. If I can put together a squad, I'll go, but I'm not going solo. That's funny. I'll go to the peep booths on the block by myself. Won't bat an eyelash. But to go to just a local dive bar like that, I need the buddy system. I can't go in solo. And someone's going to be building a cannabis dispensary. Damn near right next door to it. Here it is now. We talked about legal weed, medical marijuana with Leah Heiss on Behind the Curtain. Split ends. The gout.
The gout.
A weird mole. The stigmatism. Broken back.
Cataract.
Psoriasis. You got yourself the old crusty lip.
Crusty lip.
The wonky tongue.
Tongue.
You ever thought to yourself, maybe you need a little weed?
This is medical. This is medicine. Stop it.
Yeah, it is medicine, baby. It's medicine. Joining us in studio, she's the president, Chesapeake Integrated Health Institute, CIH.institute. It's Leah Heiss. Leah, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having us have you. And you're here with your strapping husband by the name of Todd.
Sure
am. Good skin, nice jaw, like that stubble. And you guys are going to be opening up one of its first licensed marijuana dispensaries right around the corner here on TV Hill sooner rather than later.
Right on Falls Road.
Right on Falls.
Yep, before the end of this year.
Wow.
And by the end of 2017. Our plan is to be up and running.
So explain what it is, Chesapeake Integrated Health Institute. This is not like a place like Colorado. You're not going in there and like buying lozenges, edibles, and going off to watch the John Spencer Blues explosion. This is a medicinal thing?
Yep. In the state of Maryland, it is a medical-only program.
Gotcha.
So what we will be dispensing to people is medicine, and that medicine is cannabis.
Gotcha. Do you currently take a medicinal cannabis marijuana yourself or anything? How'd you get in the game?
So I was diagnosed in 2001 with a disease called chronic pancreatitis, which is incurable. And the only treatment for that disease is high levels of opiate pain medication.
Ooh,
and
no bueno.
No good at all. And I lived on that opiate pain medication for 13 years.
What?
And in and out of the hospital 35 times and lived in not a great state.
And probably a zombified state. While the pain might have been lessened,
right,
the side effects and the cost therein. Are you familiar? We have a sports guy by the name of Keith Mills. He does all kinds of work with people, opiate addiction outreach. He has his own story to tell from when he was addicted to it. I'm getting all choked up thinking about Keith's younger years. And he tries to educate people about, you know, the dangers of opiate use. And just how, are you ever surprised how quickly medical professionals, doctors, physicians are to just throw opiates at someone when there's other options out there?
Well, I mean, they were taught that. Back in the late 90s, they were taught that there was a fifth pain sign or a fifth vital sign, and that vital sign was pain. And it's actually required by the Joint Commissions and hospitals that one of the vital signs that you look for is pain, which is why when you go into a hospital, you look at a little smiley face and you say, I'm at a one.
Yeah, one to ten. Right.
Yeah, one to ten. Yeah. And the guidance by the Joint Commission is that you have to treat a pain level above two, which means doctors are going to convince you to take these opiate pain medications.
Because if I stub my toe, I call that a six. So, like, if I they would give me oxycodone because I banged my pinky toe.
They absolutely would.
When I could just ride it out for 5 minutes, they want to throw some oxys or some Vicodin in me.
It's only been in the last few years that the entire medical community has started to look at alternatives to that type of pain medication. And I remember when I first went on opiates, I was very concerned about it because I was practicing law at the time. I was no longer going to be able to practice law and prosecute and people, and it really was making me a zombie. And I was concerned about addiction, and they said, look, you're not going to be addicted to this because this is going to be for you treating pain, and you're going to have to live like this forever, so you're not technically addicted. But that doesn't mean I can get off of it tomorrow without going through withdrawal. Yeah. So to me, I'm addicted to that type of pain medicine. Yeah.
Addiction by another name.
Right. Absolutely.
We're talking to Leah Heise, and we should say that you practice law in the state of Maryland and D.C. since 1994. You work for the federal government for 10 years, United States Coast Guard, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration Office.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you've got quite the resume. This
she
is not
even
some
like the
sort
Grateful
of this, you know, little hinky operation here. This is, you know, a real deal. This is happening right here, Falls Road, by the end of the year. One of the first. Now, what is it called? First medical marijuana dispensaries? Am I saying that properly?
So we don't call it marijuana. In fact, it's called cannabis.
Gotcha.
Okay.
In the cannabis industry, we consider the term marijuana to be a slang term, and actually to be a term that was created to demonize the plant. So we use the more medical term cannabis. And in fact, the commission in the state of Maryland initially named itself the Maryland Marijuana Commission and then changed it to the Maryland Cannabis Commission.
Now, there have been a lot of delays. I mean, the medical marijuana was approved 4 years ago, and it's crazy because it's complicated. Yeah. And people just want to know, when will a sick person be able to get medical marijuana? Are more delays on the horizon, or will this finally go through?
Josh is very sick.
Yes. we're hoping we can get some medication to Josh soon. There have been an incredible amount of delays in the state of Maryland. In fact, Maryland is the longest and slowest moving program in the country. It's taken longer than any other state so far to get its medical program up and running. Part of that was they just didn't plan for the level of applications that they were going to get at the commission. Maryland has probably one of the best commercial markets in the country for medical marijuana, medical cannabis, because it is, you're able to get it as a patient, whether you live in the state or outside of the state, as long as you're being treated by a doctor within the state of Maryland. And you also have a very broad range of conditions that are based on symptoms versus based on conditions in other states.
So who do you blame? Who is to? I want to blame somebody.
I want you to point my finger.
I really want to, because people need somebody to blame in this country.
You know, the commission has struggled.
Yeah,
they've had lots of personnel changes. They've gone through two commissions.
It's some damn czar, isn't it? I always hear about a czar somewhere, some piece of garbage.
Council.
It's a council somewhere, some think tank of a bunch of old blues and grays in there sipping on gin out of gold goblets. Joined in studio by Leah M. Heise, Esquire.
Lawyer.
Gosh, she's smart. The amount of stuff she's done is startling. And you're going to be helping out with the first licensed medical marijuana dispensary. More on the way. Medical cannabis
dispensary.
All right.
Chesapeake Integrated Health Institute, the one of the first medical cannabis dispensaries in Maryland, right here in Hamden. She is a lawyer. She is practiced law in Maryland and the District of Columbia. She worked for the federal government for 10 years. She's also a medical marijuana a medical cannabis patient, and we were talking off air, and you said you take a pill.
I do.
And you have a pancreatitis?
I do.
And it's so did you take your pill this morning?
No, I take it at night.
Oh, you take it at night?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And so you take it before you go to bed. It's good for 24 hours, I guess, or how does it work? Explain to me.
I use 5 milligrams of THC at night, which is pretty low from a medical level. Once we have product available in the state of Maryland, I will go on a consistent pain medication plan through a doctor and through my dispensary, and we will wean me off of the opiates that I'm on using cannabis. Right now, it's difficult to get full access to the product in the state.
So you're saying off air that something people need to be way aware of too is that you're not just going to be able to walk into one of these cannabis dispensaries and just pick some of them off the shelf, buy and go. You do need to register
and
get
really?
A card for it. So how does one go about registering, Josh?
We're getting.
Get your pencil and paper out for extreme anxiety, nervousness, a bloodlust against your employees.
Well, I should say that when I have to take a pill, my housekeeper has to pin me to the ground and force my mouth open like I'm a dog and shove it down my throat.
They have to cover it in raw ground beef and pin him to the floor.
There'll be tinctures, too. You can just put it right under your tongue.
I've heard there's also going to be suppositories.
Absolutely.
Take that.
Sign me up. The bigger, the better.
If you want to become a patient in the state of Maryland, what you need to do first is you need to go to the mmcc.gov website, which is the Maryland Medical Cannabis Commission's website. You will register online, and you're going to have to provide the last 4 digits of your Social Security number, a photo of yourself similar to a passport photo, and a scanned copy of your driver's license. The commission will then issue a number to you, and you will take that number to a doctor. The doctor will then talk to you about your particular ailments, whether or not one of your ailments is covered or symptoms is covered by the statute. And
crippling anxiety.
Absolutely covered.
Fantastic. What's that website one more time for those in the cheap seats?
It's mmcc.gov.
Copy that.
mmcc.gov.
And enter. There we are.
So you're saying I'm just the number.
Yeah.
Right?
Man,
that's
Josh.
To protect your identity.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Even though will your picture be on one of these IDs? Will you keep it in your wallet like a library card? Because I'm 90 and still have a library card.
You are not required to have a card in the state of Maryland. Everything will be digital. Now, they will be selling cards for an additional $50 on the website. And I would recommend people to get that card specifically if you're pulled over by the police and you happen to have cannabis on you, because it is still a ticketable fine if you have cannabis on you, but it's an immediate defense that you have.
Now, those 5 milligrams that you in particular take, is that considered a low dose, medium dose, high dose? That's a low dose.
That's low.
Do you feel it outside of the pain relief that you have? Is there any narcotic like effects? The only way I can think to word it, like if you've ever just, you know, smoked Jay or taken a hit out of an apple somewhere at a Jay Giles band concert. Like, are you, you feel anything? I don't know why I went to Jay Giles immediately. It was either that or Beyonce. Do you feel anything, or is it just relief?
For me, yeah, I don't feel anything.
Gotcha.
It's just relief. Now, there is a movement in the industry right now for terminology. It's called microdosing. And what you do is you take small doses of cannabis throughout the day. So you might take a 2 milligram dose and take maybe 5-6 of those in a particular day, depending on what your particular symptoms are. But if you're treating something like insomnia, you might consume 20 milligrams of cannabis before you go to sleep.
Right. Yeah, it's all. And like you said, Mike asked the question off the air. He said, like when you go to the doctor, they don't prescribe you a certain type. They just say, go to you guys,
yep,
and then I will talk with you or whoever's there, and then you will help direct me in terms of, hey, here's my diagnosis. This is what I'm suffering from. Can you point me in the right direction in terms of what I need?
Yep. It's a different than going to a doctor now and getting a prescription. You would just go and get a recommendation. The doctor would say, I believe that cannabis would be effective for you, and other medications have not been successful in treating your particular condition. You get the recommendation and you come to us. Every dispensary that applied in the state of Maryland and every dispensary that gets licensed in the state of Maryland is required to have either a nurse practitioner, a pharmacist, or a doctor as their clinical director to help us design protocols to treat patients, dosing protocols, and to make sure that we are being HIPAA compliant. It's going to be very medically focused and very professional.
Yeah, you're not going to go in there and buy tapestries and incense. This thing's going to be a legit medical operation for those that need it. Let's open up the phones, 410-338-1098. I'm already feeling my anxiety bubbling to the surface. I am on the website right now. Mike, take my information and do the work for me. Let's go to Aaron, has been holding for a second. Aaron, thank you for holding, friend.
Hey, how you guys doing?
How you doing?
Hey, morning.
Doing well. I was wondering how the prices might compare from a cannabis dispensary to something that someone could find on the street. And if you project that insurance companies will cover the cost of this drug?
Oh, interesting question. The goal, of course, in setting any pricing in the state will be that we set the prices so that there won't be diversion into the illegal market. So our hope is that it will be equivalent to what you can get on a street level price, but it will start out at a higher price as supply is lower, and then prices will reduce. In terms of medical insurance, unfortunately, right now, you cannot get medical insurance. There is a state in the United States, Arkansas recently just passed a bill that has a provision in it that you will likely be able to get medical cannabis treatment provided with health insurance coverage. But until it becomes legal on a federal level, we are really blocked in terms of providing health insurance coverage.
Here's a dude that I'm excited that's calling about it. Lord knows he could use it. Old friend Mikey Papers. Mikey.
Hey,
buddy. Yeah, Mikey hears Dance the Dance with some illicit substances throughout his life, and the guy's got a heart of gold, but sometimes a brain to match. And he's been trying to fight his way out from under this for a long time. Mikey, last time we talked to you, or actually maybe it was two times ago, you weren't sounding good, doing great.
Nah, it's been 8 or 9 years that I've been on these medicines, and it's a ridiculous amount. And this is going to save a lot of people becoming drug addicts, man. I mean, it's when I smoke compared to taking these pills, the relief is beyond belief. It's the pills just keep me from getting sick anymore. Like I said, it's been 8 years. So all I do is take those pills to not get sick.
Right.
It's not like it dulls my pain anymore.
Yeah. Now, you got your card yet, Mikey? You're all locked and loaded?
Me and my wife are doing it. We're going through all the situation right now. As soon as we heard about it, we were on it.
Nice. Family affair.
Good. Very good. Well, you good luck, Mikey. What's the website one more time so you can hop on there today?
MMCC.gov.
Two M's, two C's, .gov?
Mm-hmm. M to the M to the C to the C.
To the dot to the gov. Get your card today. Let's go to Matt in Parkville. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Just a quick question. I have a buddy who moved out to D.C. to get into it. I was basically just wondering where you guys see it being in 2 to 3 years in comparison to maybe the other places that have already gotten into it already?
Sure. I do see in the next few years that it will become legal for adult use in the state of Maryland. I think that in 2018, both New Jersey and Delaware will become adult use states, and Maryland will quickly follow. My hope is that Maryland will be quicker in terms of rolling out the adult use program if the legislation passes in 2018 or 2019.
You ever been to Jersey?
I have.
Take your time on getting it to them. They haven't heard it yet. Maryland, then Delaware, and then eventually if we find a couple of minutes to squabble together.
Unfortunately, I think Jersey really is going to pass in 2018.
They can't even pump their own gas, much less go ahead and bring flame to a J. Mike Anderson.
Well, I had a question, and I heard this kind of talked about.
Is this about medicinal cocaine?
It is not. It is not. But, I mean, now as we're really starting to see the tide shift and, you know, foreseeably, you know, the majority of the United States, you know, maybe in the next decade will be recreational.
Mike's high right now.
When is big tobacco going to start infiltrating the market?
They're here.
Are they already?
They're already
question.
Here.
I heard rumors that they have like production ready to go.
Dude,
that if the on the federal
trust
level,
me.
They ever said, okay, you guys are free and clear. Someone somewhere is hitting a button and you're going to find a Marlboro green pack.
I've seen them. I've seen the actual packaging for the Marlboro. And they look exactly like a Marlboro cigarette.
Yeah.
But it is. It's
cannabis.
It's just cannabis. Let's take one more question because this is a weird one. Josh, pay special attention to this one. Tom Glen Burney, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning, Spiegel.
Good morning.
Yeah, so it's kind of a weird question, but I am being serious. I have a dog who has been diagnosed with a seizure disorder, and he takes phenobarbital. So he has to take a pill every day, twice a day. So I was wondering if you guys prescribe medicine for pets as well, or it's just for humans.
What did you say he takes?
Phenobarbital.
Oh, I thought you said the shaving cream. Like, you're giving your dog Barbasol? That's probably why the dog's having seizures. You're feeding the shaving cream Barbital. Okay, so could a dog benefit from medicinal marijuana?
Absolutely. And there are a number of different dosing protocols for animals. You can do some research online. There's a company called TreatWell out of California that makes great CBD elixirs for dogs, specifically for cannabis or for epilepsy treatment in animals. Mm-hmm. And it's great, just like it is for human. It's great for pain. It's great for tremor, seizures.
Mm-hmm. Is the man still there? Is he still on the phone?
No, he's long since gone. He is out of here.
Right. So, I was going to ask him if I could meet his dog. Guess that's not going to happen.
Leah Heiss, she is from Chesapeake Integrated Health Institute. I can't wait. This is going to be opened up before year's end, probably do a soft launch, grand opening. Love to get a tour of the facilities and the product with my prescription and card held gladly in the air because I am riddled with anxiety, self-doubt, a heart issue, and ED.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
2017, you got a big 70-inch high-definition 4K TV, 7.1 surround sound. What you don't have is a bunch of people kicking your seat, eating popcorn, and bringing their damn children into a rated R film. Why would you go to a movie theater anymore in 2017? I went and saw Baby Driver this past weekend. Josh Spiegel, you saw Spider-Man Homecoming. And, do you think after seeing Spider-Man and the difficulties you have, is there another film that would get you to go back to a theater for you to overcome the anxiety that they give you?
I want to see Spider-Man in a better theater, in a more relaxed atmosphere, more comfortable. But no, I don't think I'm going to be going back to any theater to see a movie anytime soon.
See, this plays into my idea that, and there was some Hollywood company that was going to do this or maybe not do this, where they were going to sell you some set-top box where you can say you want to see Spider-Man Homecoming, but you don't want to go to a theater, you'd pay $50 or $40 to watch a new release film. If you had the option, you ain't got to drive, you ain't buying concessions, you ain't got to worry about some weird ass checking his phone the entire time, but you had to pay four times as much to see it from the comfort of your house, would you?
Yeah, I would launder money and do that. Definitely do that. I would definitely launder money.
Josh would launder money
from the company and then buy this device.
Josh Spiegel has a Ponzi scheme. He's looking to scrape a little bit off the top and buy movies illegally to stream at home. Coming up, the movie going experience. Hell of it, hate it, we discuss it on Behind the Curtain.
Movie weekends. Was Baby Driver's opening weekend too? What is Baby Driver?
It's
it sounds like a kid's
100% it does, which I think might actually work against it because of Baby Boss. I think a lot of people might be getting those two films mixed up, even though they are completely separate. It's a dude that did Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, Edgar Wright, The World's End. He did Sing. I think he was an actor in Sing. He didn't direct or write that, but he was in it. But yeah, Edgar Wright. If Edgar Wright's involved in it, it's probably going to be pretty good. And he did this, and it was great. It was great. But
the big one.
We're not here to talk Spider-Man. About Baby Driver. We're here to talk about Spiderman. Spiderman Trace.
Yeah. Spiderman Trace.
Spiderman. So, what'd you think? I saw Baby Driver.
Oh, you didn't?
That's what I was saying. I wanted to go see it and was vetoed.
Oh, okay.
And that's why I have to go see a matinee this week. Yeah, I wanted to see it this weekend and was sort of shoved out.
Because that was you who tweeted.
That was me who tweeted, Spider-Man, go to see Spider-Man, stay for Baby Driver.
I thought you meant you went to both of them.
Oh, I went for it.
Okay.
And had to go see Baby Driver.
Okay, got it.
I don't want to see a guy that's like, there is someone in my family who will go unnamed that is convinced that Spider-Man is half spider. That they think that there's effing spider legs sticking out of his mother f-ing back. I'm like, no, he was bit by a spider. And he got his powers. He's got a red suit. And he's a kid. Mm-hmm. And he's got like a love interest. Like, I just don't like spiders. Like, I can't stress it enough.
Yeah.
You're probably going to see maybe two spiders in this film, and they'll be very small.
Yeah.
But the guy himself, Peter Parker, he's not a spider. I just think spiders are good. Never mind. We're going to go see Baby Driver. Because I just don't know how to. By the way, Baby Driver isn't about a baby with wheels on it. Just giving you a heads up, too. That's not a thing. That they're not driving around an infant. Because you're convinced that Spider-Man is half arachnid, half dude. So I'm just assuming you think Baby Driver is a toddler with Toyo tires attached to its torso. So don't expect to see that either.
Well, Spider-Man Homecoming, it was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. It was delightful. Tom Holland, the star, he's incredible. He's 20, I guess he's 21 now. He must have been 20, 19 as they were filming.
Yeah.
He acts like he's a kid, like 14, 15 years old, which he plays. He's perfect in that role.
Isn't it crazy, too? He's from the UK, and he nails the awkward
American
team. I don't know what's going to happen at Homecoming.
Yes. So, oh, my God, that just came out of nowhere after I pressed the button.
You just willed it into happening.
Okay. Yes, it's everything that it's been hyped up to be. It's like a high school examination. Like, who's the John guy?
John Hughes.
Yes.
It's
how Spider-Man, the kid, is learning about his body.
Ooh.
He's flowering. He's, just learning how everything works. The spider stuff. So it's not a traditional superhero movie. That's if you're going into it thinking that he's going to be swinging all over the place and stuff like that happens, but it's more of a focus on his life as a teenager and just getting used to this superhero body and talents. And Robert Downey Jr. is great.
He's Tony Stark, who's Iron Man, is sort of like the big connection to the other films in this.
Michael Keaton is great. I loved it. I didn't like how I wasn't completely satisfied with the villains. I thought they were great. I just didn't think that they could have gone as far as they could have. When you see it, you'll understand it kind of stays on the level of Spider-Man, since he doesn't go full force. Does that make any sense?
So you have a villain who's as small scale as the hero is.
Right.
This isn't the Avengers with the sky opening up and you've got an alien invasion. This is very local ground floor.
That was my perception. I mean, I'd be curious to you're more into that sort of thing. You understand that better. So you may have a different opinion. But it was great. I thought, and Marissa Tomei, I now have a new love for her.
Man,
hell yeah,
she is.
Yeah,
like how Michelle Pfeiffer gets hotter with every single year she ages. Marissa Tomei, who was Peter Parker's mom or aunt, excuse me,
Aunt May,
May in the Captain America film.
Yeah,
in a brief scene that was just mwah, good. I hear she's great in this.
Yes, and I'm not giving away any spoilers. The ending is great.
Hell yeah.
You'll love the ending.
What'd you think of the roommate, his buddy? I hear his buddy was great.
His fat friend, from high school is hilarious. There are two. Zendaya, the love interest.
Yeah, how's she? Because I know her from Casey Undercover on the Disney Channel.
She's great.
Shake it up.
There are other actors from the high school. It's great. And, the few people that I've talked to who've seen it, I haven't heard any complaints yet. So I think they hit it out of the ballpark.
Hell yeah, baby. Spider-Man, Josh Spiegel's seal of approval.
How was your movie-going experience?
Well, that's what I want to know.
Because I told you, you should have went to the damn 1 o'clock showing on a Friday.
Well, it wasn't a really issue of crowds. It was more just overall, because I went on Sunday at 10:30 A.M. Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. Good.
Smart
good,
move.
Good, good choice.
Nice. Good deal. $6.
Hell yeah. We didn't. My family likes to wait until after the matinee is over so dad could spend more. And there's right. just as many people sardine canned into the damn thing as possible.
And the problem is, of course, I'm socially awkward and have social anxiety. So, look, that's on me. I'm always thinking people are looking at me when they're not looking at me. And I'm very uncomfortable. And I haven't been in a movie theater in 3 years since the last Spider-Man.
Whoa.
4 years. And so, you know, going into the theater, trying to find a seat is stressful for me. And then I find a seat and I kind of sit there with my left hand on my face. I feel like I just don't want people looking at me.
Feel like you're going to get recognized and someone's going to want to sit next to you?
No, it's not even getting recognized. It's just I don't want people looking at me.
Can I ask you what was the concession stand order, if anything?
I didn't stop at the concession stand.
Okay.
Damn, going in raw.
Damn.
Who the hell goes in a movie theater raw?
You bareback to film?
I did. Damn, I bareback to film without a condom.
Whoa.
And
no concession.
Okay, so I sit
the
down.
The move of a madman.
Hell yeah, a psychopath sits in our midst.
So I sit down, and then it's 7,000 commercials and promotions and trail. It's out of control.
I am so glad you said this. Ask me how many got trailers, and I love a trailer. I'll get mad if we miss the trailers.
Yeah.
Ask me how many were in front of Baby Driver. How many? There were 13 effing trailers in front of Baby. 13 trailers. And they're not like 10, 15 second clips. I'm telling you, these are short films.
Yeah.
Baby Driver began at 120, according to the ticket. Yeah. And I wasn't watching Baby Driver until 150. The amount of crap before that film. Stuff I wanted to see. It, Blade Runner, and that garbage-ass Jumanji, and all this other stuff. And then in between that, there's like trailers for TV shows.
Well, it sounds like I had fewer trailers. I must have had 4 trailers, but 700 commercials. And it's just, and then the rules.
You're watching the 20.
Okay.
It's Cineplex Odeon.
Find the exit. Yeah, okay, I see the exit. Thank
you. Hey,
you
with the green hair and the Lee press-on nails, turn off your cell phone.
And then I can't help but wonder. I start thinking back to the Aurora movie theater shooting.
Oh, oh. I told you, it crosses my mind every single time I go into a theater now.
So,
every single time I go into a theater, I look for the exits and I wonder, if S goes down, what is my game plan? It doesn't ruin my movie, but it crosses your mind.
Yeah.
And then you've got the running commentary from the people around you. After the trailer,
I mean, doesn't
that one looks
like
good.
Yeah, that looks good.
That's
I'll
really
that.
Funny.
I'll see that. That's just good.
And during the movie, actually, this is the first time I actually experienced this. Actually, during the movie, when there was a really clever scene it was unexpected in the movie. Two guys behind me, one of them said, "Wow, that was great. Didn't see that coming. Way to go, Marvel. Way to go."
God.
Is
you,
that
man.
Necessary?
You hard.
Do you have to do that?
Okay. God, I'm you might put up a barrier because I might come across this board and start giving him smooches. Same thing, Baby Driver. The movie has got some great car chases.
Yeah.
They're very intense. Maybe we'll get into entertainment.
Oh.
But every effing time one ended, there's a couple, two rows back and off to my right, that will go, over, and the movie's just all great action sequences interspersed with some dialogue after a scene where the dude goes and gets coffee. Whew!
Yeah.
I don't need that every god time.
Okay, so it's not my nature to complain.
Keep going.
But, okay, then you got, this is minor, but a guy sitting next to me.
Right next to you?
Two seats. Okay. To my right, he is pulling out his phone, not every 5 minutes, but every, I don't know, half hour. Just you see the light, and it kind of ring. The ringtone goes off, and he's eating loudly, so that's annoying.
Maybe he had a babysitter issue. Maybe
this is great. Hey, that guy's got metallic wings.
Yeah,
maybe he was checking on his children.
Late comers.
Ooh.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, you should lock the door. They should lock the door, like, stand by me so the kids have to take the test.
Oh, and the worst part is then they, like, stand there at the front of the theater, like, looking up.
The five yeah. that opens. Or that
yeah, you look
spot.
At the one drip who's backlit looking up like, well, there's no seats left. Yeah, you're 15
minutes. You're
late. You're 15 minutes into the film, dummy.
The only lucky break was that nobody brought a baby. Because, you know, some like you said, babysitter issues. They can't get a babysitter. Well, you gotta go to the movie. Yep. Let's bring the baby. So some of it was on me. I think the experience, I went to a regular screen because I don't really like 3D.
But I
think that maybe I should have gone to a different kind of screen, maybe a 3D.
Or like a big, like IMAX sized yeah. one. It's not 3D, but still grand.
Yes. And I can't go to a theater. I can't go to a theater again. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I just have to wait for DVDs. It just, it's out of control. It's out of control. I don't know. Maybe I have to go to a different theater or something else.
Nah, it's all of it's going to be difficult.
What you need to do is get a new television at home.
Oh.
To improve your movie watching experience.
Yeah,
you got like a
30-inch
TV bolted
so
to the wall.
It's so easy nowadays.
If you let me, he has a tube television bolted to the window. If you let me take you audio-video shopping, I might have an orgasm in the Best Buy if you let me help you pick out something.
But I can't watch Spider-Man on TV yet.
We're creeping up on it.
God your knows movies, I tried.
We're creeping up on an age where the movie that's in the theater,
yeah, you're going to be getting your...
Yeah.
So I went to... I'll tell you where I went. I drove down from Boston, and I went to the Owings Mills
Theater. God, that's like a 5.5-hour drive to see Spider-Man.
And it's not bad, and it's not a bad area. But then, I guess, when I went in the theater, I was kind of in a depressed mood, because as you drive to the theater, you drive past mounds and mounds of dirt of what used to be the Owings Mills Mall.
Oh,
and I remember
yeah.
going... to the mall years ago, and it at one point it was a bustling mall, and then you know what happened with retail.
Yeah.
And it's just, it was depressing.
Josh saw Spider-Man, I saw Baby Driver, and we both are pretty much side by side in the not really enjoying the movie theater experience so much anymore. And this has nothing to do with the theaters, by the way. The theaters have done a pretty damn good job of making the seats comfy. The sound systems are incredible.
Yeah, my...
It's people that ruin it. Only thing I would ask, turn that temperature up just about 5 degrees.
Oh, it's always so cold in there.
I almost cut 2 holes through my shirt because my nipples were like diamonds.
I was surprised I didn't have any body aches when I got up. Normally, you know, if you're sitting in one position for a while, you might leave some body aches, but I adjusted myself a couple times. That must have helped.
So people are checking in. It says that the in Annapolis Mall now they have reserved seating theaters.
Yeah, there's some theaters you can now buy
recliners.
You can buy the seats. I think the draft houses do that, where you can
go
online
and buy.
So you
don't just get a ticket. You can like pick a seat.
Exactly.
Wow.
And there's like premium seats that you can buy. So if you get stuck front row, which by the way, total psychopath showed up to see Baby Driver.
Sat all the way in front.
All the way in the front. Why? And there was tons of seats. The guy sits right up front and is just looking straight up in the air. I'm like, there's tons
of
seats.
Some people like doing that. I don't know why.
Do you enjoy having cracked discs in your vertebrae?
Guy says he will he saw Spider-Man in the reserve theater. He said he'll never use regular seats again.
I gotta try that.
I gotta get on board with that.
Yeah, I gotta sit on someone's lap.
Call that guy up, Mike.
Find out about that. I want to know.
Just get
about
a little
that.
Intel on that.
Is there a theater anywhere I would love to know that has this sharper image massage chair? Like when you have your mattress for a mattress. If I had somebody that was able to do that in a theater, so I could just sit there and feel that vibration.
Wouldn't that be distracting though?
If it was quiet enough,
no. But I mean, like if you're shaking. Yeah, maybe if it's gentle enough.
Yeah, I'm not looking for a full-on shiatsu session. You
like
know,
your vision gets all blurry because you're shaking too
much.
Yeah,
exactly. Or, you know, I wouldn't mind if it had a vibration option, but it's kind of tied into the sound system, or it can maybe send some vibrations through me like a rumble pad in a video game controller. When something blows up inside of the film,
you they have that. Theaters with that.
Oh, and it like rumbles underneath that ass?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool. I haven't seen that. I've seen the thing at the, what is it, the Inner Harbor, the aquarium, but they have like little 10-minute SpongeBob film where when they go underwater, it sprays you with mist.
Right.
And when you're in the submarine, bubbles fill the theater and there's like smells.
What's the movie at the Annapolis Mall? It's called Bowtie?
Bowtie Cinemas.
Trying to find.
Thank you for coming to Lowe's. Sit back, enjoy the show. The guy next to you is going to crunch on snow caps the whole time.
Let's find the info on this reserved seating.
Mark might be able to help us in Annapolis. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Justin, how you doing?
How you doing, bud?
Hey,
Josh Mark. And Scott are here as well.
What's up, guys? You did the reserved seats?
I did, yes.
Give us the details. What's this all about? Is this the way to go?
You know, it's a little more expensive. It looks like they're probably going to stick with the 3D movies in the reserved seating, but it was $15.50 a seat.
What would it normally have been?
I think $12.50.
Okay, so $3 more. It's worth it. Based on what this is, it seems like it might be worth it.
Yeah, because you know, if you don't want to sit through the previews, you already have a seat guaranteed once you buy the ticket.
Oh, cool.
So what do you think about that angle?
That 20-minute preview session, which has gotten
exactly.
excessive.
Exactly.
Very, very
exactly.
cool.
Exactly.
Somebody tweeted
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Somebody tweeted me to check on Cinebistro. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, thank you for the call, Mark. It's right around the corner. We've been trying to do something there for a little bit. It's a theater, reserved seating, and like gourmet food. Really good food and drink and spirits, and you have tables and all that.
I've been trying to do something there for quite some time.
I had no appetite to eat any snacks at the theater yesterday because I had a big breakfast. I had 2 egg and cheese sandwiches.
We snuck in a bunch of puppy chow. You ever had puppy chow?
No.
The snack? It's the Chex mix with the powder and the chocolate and the peanut butter. Made a big-ass bowl of that stuff, snuck it in bags, because you can take the boy out of Waldorf, but you can't take the Waldorf out of the boy. I would still love to do that bit where you try and sneak food into the theater, but it has to be like a crock pot full of stew or like a whole rack of ribs. I would love to have a romantic Italian dinner. There's like a candle-lit table for two and like a plate of pasta where you're lading the trampoline noodle. Let's go to Adam in Hampstead. Adam, good morning.
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 How you guys doing?
Hey.
How you doing?
Doing fantastic.
Nice.
Went to this movie theater over the weekend in Hanover. Had seats that actually moved with the movie. You paid like $5 extra.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm getting a whole bunch of texts about it.
Gunshots. It was cool.
Wow, that's very cool. Hopefully they had some sort of attachment for a sex scene. That would be real nice. Something you could attach to your front parts.
Mm-hmm. So this new Dolby Theater in White Marsh has the rumbles with TGE sound.
Ooh.
And it's amazing. Wow. Reserve seating with recliners.
Oh, God, thank you.
Right. They're competing with the home theater experience now.
Yeah,
so they're trying to make it more and more. They want to get people out of their houses.
Hell yeah. Let's go to CJ Towson. Good morning. What's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's that?
So the Towson Cinemark, it's the only one I go to, because you get reserve level seating, which is $5 more.
Mm-hmm.
There's only 3 rows up there, so you're above all the average people.
Yeah. I like that.
Let me turn this up.
From the commoners.
There we go.
Okay.
The unwashed masses.
Then they'll bring their food to you as well. If you order food and drinks before, they'll bring it to your seat.
Is this that new place that they built?
Yep, brand new. They serve alcohol, too, so they'll bring your alcohol to your seat as well.
Is that the theater next to BJ's?
Well, hello there.
Well,
The burger place, yes.
All right, sir.
Very good. Plate of cocaine, a Zima, and a lobster tail for my friend here. Despicable Me's about to start.
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So Josh goes and does an appearance on Wednesday of this week, Tall Cedars, Parkville, and he tweets out a pic at Josh Spiegel. By the way, I pointed out very early in the show, I love how few people you follow. You're getting close to 18,000 followers. You only follow 18 people.
Yeah.
That's an elite level of social media presence.
I spend so much time on Twitter as it is. If I follow 100 people, I'll never get off of it.
Yeah, I still need to call the herd. But the reason I bring it up is that I saw your picture of you clutching a little Shih Tzu by the name of Penny. In the break coming up, you'll hear you were talking about making a cash money offer for the dog. You love this dog. Yeah. You want to get this dog up here. And all that day, we tried to reach out. Did you ever get a chance to make contact?
One of Penny's owners, or more politically correct, one of Penny's humans, did tweet at me, and we are going to try to make contact with her so I can try to bribe them and take their dog.
It's so disgusting.
Wow. Anything else you'd like to bring
get
up?
Get your own
owner?
Effing dog!
I want Penny. I like Penny.
Get your own freaking... How I don't understand how this is even like a thing that's happening.
I don't know.
You're considering shit like buying these people out of their dog.
I don't want cake. So I want your cake.
I don't understand it either. I just maybe I'm just
you're insane.
I'm in a vulnerable position, and I need something to fill the hole.
How would you feel if someone was trying to buy you out of Pumpernick?
Oh, they would die.
No, yeah, they'd take a pickaxe to
the
face.
But it's okay for you to do it.
Yeah, we'll see how they react. If they're adamant and they say no, it's not happening, then I'll you know.
Man,
I'll,
I feel like we're forgetting something about the owner. I don't feel like there's something we never we got it. We were
well,
able to bring up.
I don't know, you know,
yeah, I don't know if
their
we
specific situation, but I think it's a support dog.
Gotcha.
Oh, so. You are a horrible human being. You're
it's
trying to
pet.
Buy someone's support dog.
It's medicine with a tail.
Yes. Well, I mean, I could use a support dog.
All right.
Yeah, get your own.
He wants theirs. He made a cash offer on Penny the Shih Tzu, the support dog that he almost kidnapped at Tall Cedars. Maybe coming up this week, we'll have a Penny development if they took his cash money offer. Hear about it now on Behind the Curtain.
Interesting development yesterday. Spiegel
yes,
was out at Tall Cedars right there in Parkville for the blood drive.
Pocket full of condoms.
Giving away some tickets.
Yeah, tickets.
Rare public appearance by Josh Spiegel on a weekday.
That's right. If I knew I would be showered with so many gifts by people,
What do you mean?
I
take my baby.
I have to thank two people. Well, actually, three people. First, I have to thank Frank, who brought a bag of gifts.
What's up, Frank?
Hi, Frank.
Spider-Man T-shirt.
Whoa.
Wow.
For what?
I don't know.
Just because he loves you.
Yeah, I guess so.
He loves award winners.
And... cigars.
Whoa, wow. This guy knows you.
And a toy for my dog. And then I got to thank Alan.
What's up, Alan?
He gave you rope and a fake passport.
Alan brought me a Spider-Man figurine, a very tiny figurine. And then I got to thank some other guy. I don't know his name, but he brought his dog out, and I fell in love with that dog, Penny, a Shih Tzu.
At Josh Spiegel on Twitter, at Josh Spiegel. Is it on your Instagram?
It's
as
on
well?
Every social media page. I was very excited.
He this shotgunned this out.
Getting weird.
The photo is of you clutching the dog in the air, Rafiki Simba-esque. In the background, there's old Archie staring down at you with his hat, glasses, and mustache. And you told Mike. Actually, you know what? I'll let Mike tell me. Mike, what did Josh say when he came in?
He said, I'm obsessed with this dog. I can't stop thinking about this Shih Tzu.
Super normal.
It's a 9-week-old dog. It's so tiny. It's like a fluff ball. The owner brought it in, and he came right up to me, and he basically shoved it in my face.
Take the dog.
And I said, hold it. Does that thing bite? Okay, because I don't want my face bitten off. This face is my livelihood.
That dog would take... It would take 12 hours to chew your entire face off. Its mouth is the size of a dime.
But as soon as I held it, I don't know, maybe it was just my maternal instinct came.
Did you begin to lactate?
Maybe.
A couple
maybe.
Of drips.
It might have been sweat. And I just wanted this dog. I kept talking. You know, normally I don't socialize, but I kept talking to the owner because I wanted to continue holding the dog. I wanted the dog. Not only that, I didn't stop thinking about it yesterday. I thought about the dog in the shower this morning.
Whoa.
I want the dog.
Like, whoa.
Whoa.
What are you thinking about
just,
like, when you're thinking about the dog?
Where are your hands while you're thinking of the dog?
Just, you know, how cute the dog is, Penny, she.
God, I miss that dog. Do you feel guilty at all?
I don't feel any guilt. I just feel like...
That you're enamored with another?
Oh, no, I think, you know, another a little dog might be a friend to my dog, Pumpernickel, but I don't know, I don't understand why I'm feeling so obsessed about this dog. I told Mike, I said, this dog has to come up to the station.
For what?
I want to spend more time with the dog.
Well, then do it on your own time. And, what do you mean you bring it up here?
And I also, well, I also want to try to persuade the owner to give me the dog.
I heard something about a cash money offer, maybe?
You're out of line.
I would maybe...
That's gross.
Maybe I would make an offer that he can't refuse.
What's Fluffy worth to you?
I have no... you know, I don't know.
Write a number down. Write an... I won't... I promise I won't read it.
Okay.
Take this pen. You got a pen.
Yeah.
Write down how much money you'd be willing to pay for Fluffy the dog that's not yours. That you clutched
Penny.
Way too long.
Penny
the dog. A Fluffy dog named Penny. That you touched yourself in the shower.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Why?
What do you mean? That's somebody's family member. You're just buying up a family member.
Well, not only that, but I mean, you're taking it from a nuclear family and taking it into a single father home.
Well, how do you know it's a nuclear family?
I'm just assuming.
That's a good assumption, Mike.
And I think it's a service dog, too.
Oh, you are a gross human.
Wait,
let me see.
Dog.
I didn't see the number.
Not a support dog.
I can't see that. You wrote it so small.
Oh, for God's sake.
Is it?
It's 10
grand.
No, it's not 10 grand. That's like what you would buy a...
it's probably, someone's dog!
That's probably what it would
it's
cost
not for sale.
To buy a dog like that in a pet store.
Oh, you don't want to buy it at a pet store.
Go buy your own.
No.
You got to adopt a
I
pit
want
mix.
Penny. Penny liked me. Even the owner said, oh, she really likes you.
Oh, man.
And this was just this old person's dog.
Right?
Yes. It's their family dog.
Yes.
So not only are you now cheating on Pumpernickel with another dog,
yeah.
but now you're offering to just buy up someone's family member.
Look, if I have to get I'll get another job to pay for Penny.
He's going
to
get a summer job. You can work at that dispensary handing out those cannabis.
I don't think I would pay
well,
that
what
much.
About what about this? Think about this angle to it. If someone's willing to sell a dog to someone, do they deserve to even have that dog?
I would hope that that person would say no, you know what I mean? No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's an absolute no.
Well,
you would hope, right?
What if he needs the money?
See?
And
look at you.
The second thing is the dog is only 9 weeks old. So
there's no attachment yet.
Probably not.
You're so gross. Listen to you.
We've got to get this
bucks.
Guy.
No,
look, if we're not doing it here, I've got to track this guy down to find him.
Penny the
get
dog
him up
owner.
Here. Get well, him. I want Spiegel to make him an offer live on the air.
Why don't we just find a Shih Tzu breeder?
No. I want to watch Spiegel make an offer
I
for
want
this
Penny.
Person's dog.
Oh, Mike, don't bring up
I
the breeder
see him
word.
Buy up a dog right out from under somebody's nose.
You're going to get somebody with a big hemp smock emailing us.
And be able to sleep at night. I guess, like Spieg said, if you, it's a, you know, hey, the phrase is an offer you can't refuse. So if the price, and everybody's got a price, right?
Yeah.
If the price is right.
Old DiBiase Spiegel over here.
And that person's happy with the amount they're getting and you're happy getting the dog, then who's at fault?
Huh?
No one. No one, right?
Look, you know what I said? So while I'm holding and cuddling the dog and the owner, whose name I don't know because I was so obsessed with the dog.
Bob, it's Roy. Anyways, Tim, it's Roy.
So the owner's off talking to our promotions guy, Pat, and I'm, you know, like 5 feet away.
Oh, don't get Pat to have that dog. He'll put the damn thing in a bun.
And I said, I'm baby talking. I'm saying, I would have so much fun with you. And the owner
heard
this, and the owner was like, oh, that's not at all disturbing. That's not disturbing.
What if something happened to your family? What if they want to push down on their brakes and their brakes didn't work? Uh-oh, you come to stay with me. You will stay with me forever.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just having a strange day or something and it's just a phase.
But... I'll add that to the price.
Oh, stop.
Cash
it.
Money. I'll hand you wads of bills.
I don't think I would pay that much.
Get the dog
that's
up there.
That's not a lot of money.
Yeah, you know.
Not for a dog. It's probably, Mike probably paid. Mike, what'd you pay? Write down, because you're Puppy Mill Anderson.
I got a good deal.
Puppy Mill Anderson.
It's still expensive.
God forbid you get a rescue.
Whoa! That much?
Jesus.
They're normally this.
Wow!
Whoa.
And can get
I had
up
no
to
idea
this.
You spent that much. Well, that's just ridiculous. That
well,
last
I didn't.
Number.
I didn't.
You're
going
to start splitting the bill at the bar.
It was a Christmas gift for my family.
I was buying you drinks this whole time.
I didn't flip the bill for that.
You whore.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin, Scott, and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So I took a field trip on Tuesday of this past week. We had a discussion earlier in the week about antiquated porn stylings, you know, the hotline, the printed page. God, these days, the printed page, the Penthouse Forum is antiquated. And the Pete booth is probably one of the seedier antiquated ones that we could discuss. And I went to one on the block, Big Top. Photos are up at 98online.com. And you'll hear coming up, I discuss everything I see, I saw, I smelled. And I'm not sure if you saw it. Have you seen all the photos for the most part?
Yeah.
The state of disrepair.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean,
that was the first thing that got me. Not just how the smell and the sights and all that. It was like everything was broken and
like,
doorknobs
were
hanging.
Let's spiral it out even further. Like, how much money is this place really making a month? It's not in the black. It's got to be in the red, right? Is the place paid for? Who owns this place? Is like
who hired the old lady that works there?
Does she own it? I don't know. Like, it's just
does she own it?
These places, man. Like, God,
that's another thing. I almost want to go back and not even go upstairs. I just want to talk to her. I think I skipped past it, glazed past it. Well, hello there. Too quickly was this sweet old woman who I think she was Greek. Her accent was a little Greek. She looked at, you know, Highland Town's not far away, Greek town. I mean, just bedside manner for the ages, customer service, not the person I expected to see. And I'm seeing dudes coming in and out of this thing that are not cut from the best of us. And I'm being very polite with her. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Thank you very much. And she can't get that a lot. You got to get that hurried, no. Scurrying upstairs, running out, not saying a word. Put the hoodie up so no one sees you in there.
She probably like, there's probably another woman back there that you didn't see. And as you walk away and scurry up the stairs.
Hey, Margaret, we got another newbie.
Hey.
We had another newbie just walk in.
And we got some guy coming off the street. Yes, ma'am, and a no, ma'am, and me. Send Ricky up there to roll his ass.
Yeah.
I was dead.
She could tell you were so green.
Oh, I'm wandering. I did. Oh, my God. You know what I did? You know what I 100% did? Back in the day when you'd go to the video store that had the room in the back where all the adult films were, but you didn't walk straight to it.
No,
you definitely checked
fake
out
browse.
The new releases.
Yeah, the fake browse.
I'm just going, oh, hey, what's this door here? Let me just laugh. I wandered the whole perimeter of that place before I did the, there's the stairs. Let me, it's not like she's going to gasp at my audacity of going upstairs to that crank village. But there's photos, there's a couple of videos I'm going to send to our digital czar and get them up online. And here's the recap now of my trip to the Big Top Peep Booths on the block on Behind the Curtain.
Went to a peep booth yesterday down on the block.
Yeah, this is an agenda I've been pushing for a little bit. Mike, I'm going to need a Justin's dumb, what was it, Justin's dumb stance sound?
Yeah. Stupid stance, Justin's stupid stance.
Yeah, Justin's stupid stance.
Antiquated porn.
Antiquated porn, the act of calling a phone sex line, why would you do it? The peep booth, which I don't know where I read it. Someone sent this to us yesterday. I think it came through the text or the tweets. I'll have to scroll back through and retweet it if I can find it. That Baltimore is about to have the only red light district left in the country?
Well,
is that true?
I don't think it's a red light.
Okay,
it's
okay.
Illegal.
Red light district is a little. Okay.
I think that was very tongue in cheeky.
Yeah, it's about to have one of the final adult oriented entertainment blocks. I guess like we have the block. Okay, you've got the Hustler Club, you got Circus, you got Chez Louis, Kings and Diamonds, and you've got the Big Top. And that's where I went yesterday because I heard that was one of the few spots where they still have like classic peep booths. And you can go upstairs and Lord knows what you're going to see. Well, I went yesterday and...
Oh my God. I just Googled the Big Top Baltimore and the first website that came up is cruisinggaze.com.
Scott, don't forget that. Do not...
Cruisinggaze.com.
Yep. Do not forget that, because that's going to play into the story in a few minutes.
Wow. Yep. Okay.
So, I sent you a photo yesterday, Mike, and I wanted to wait until today to send all the photos out. Here's how I knew that I was in a real good place. The minute I pull up and I park in front of one of those meters that you get a slip to place on your dashboard in front of, the very first thing that I see is a gigantic bottle of peach Amsterdam vodka. an empty bottle, Josh, right there. Look at that. There's a gigantic empty bottle of peach vodka on top of the parking meter. Yeah. I'm like, all right, we're off to the races.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. So I pay my toll, or excuse me, I pay my parking ticket. I go inside. The sweetest old lady runs that place. I'm just going to call her Marge. This sweet old Greek lady. Hello, sweetheart. Welcome to the Big Top. How can I help you today? Like, you just walked into a Shoney's. It's not like the greasy comb-over glass coat bottle trench coat looking guy behind the counter like, you ever been to Thailand? Like, no. She just, hello, sweetheart. Let me know if you need anything. I'll be up here.
Kleenex?
Yeah, Purell. All right. Do you have antibiotics? Get amoxicillin? So the downstairs is a sex toy shop. Just your standard sex toy shop. Not like a sugar the shop, like a nice, clean, fresh one. This one's got every last horrible thing you could possibly imagine. Thought about picking us up some stuff until I realized that every product costs $50. Everything is $49.95. Leather hoods, I'll say wearables, clamps, inflatables, things that you attach to yourself and others simultaneously. Everything's $50 in there. I said, you know what? That's a little too rich for daddy's blood. And then I see the stairwell. And the stairwell leads upstairs to the Den of Darkness, where you have to pay for tokens before you go upstairs. They take cash, so I take a 10 spot out of my pocket, and I hand it to the sweet old lady. So I'd like, can I get $10 worth of tokens, please? She's like, here you go, sweetheart. Have fun.
What is the cleanliness of the store downstairs?
Downstairs, 6 out of 10.
Not terrible.
All right. 10 being, you know, a hospital prior to surgery, 1 being Aleppo.
Is that a picture of it right there?
I was going to say, how old is the average decor in there? Because that looks like it was straight out of 1979.
Wood paneling, that adult arcade, that sign, all that's there. That is the exact dark stairwell that I walk up
to. That's out of like the 70s, right?
Yeah, that kind of glue on wood paneling. So I go upstairs, and it gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and then you are hit with the smell. And I thought,
what do you mean, the smell?
The smell. Like when those trees blossom. You know, when those trees flower?
Oh, yes.
Yes. What are those type of trees? What are they called?
I can't remember. The trees in my neighborhood.
Yes. What are they called? Oh God, they're all over the city. I believe it is the calorie pear.
Yeah,
the pear tree.
Pear tree.
Yeah, the pear tree. Well, it smells those are everywhere. Okay, linden trees. Yeah, like there's an orchard of linden trees. It hits you the minute you're up there, like you smell it. There's a catacomb, a labyrinth of small booths everywhere. Small booths, maybe a little bit larger than a phone booth. And the doors are all propped open, red light above them, video screen inside of them, and a token machine right on the outside that you drop your tokens into.
Now, in terms of how many other people are in there, you buy...
I would estimate there were probably 15 booths.
Yeah.
I'd say 10 were open.
So
there were some folks in there.
Okay.
I heard movement. I heard...
Rapid movement?
Yes. I heard I'm like, is someone in there churning butter? You better be in there stirring stew, sir. And stew better not be a man. I wander around trying to find a booth. I turn the corner and I bump into a dude. And this dude is leaning up against the wall, just doing one of these, just kind of just leaned up in there. He's like, hey, hey. And, we just kind of lock eyes for a second, and I just walk around him. I walk around him, and then I find this on the other side of him. He was standing next to a buddy booth.
What is a buddy booth? Question mark. Is that on the wall? A flyer on the wall. What is a buddy booth?
It's two adjacent video booths with an LCD screen in between. Push the buddy booth button to clear up the screen, to shut off the view. Press the buddy booth button again. So he was hanging out near the buddy booth looking for a buddy. And he thought he found one. And I think he was a little disappointed that I kind of just kept on keeping on. Turn the corner. I decide to go into a booth. I gotta not laugh at this here. because the booth that I decided to go in was really in the corner where the darkness was.
Oh.
I bump into
how dark is this hallway with the booth?
It's lit. Here, I'll show you. Here's a
like when you bumped into that guy, was it as bright as it is in here?
No, God, no. No, 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 no. It's dim. Here's one. I can't say what the sign says, but read that.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Stop peeing in the booth?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, there. That was another smell everywhere of this. People were just going to the bathroom in the booths. There was a little grotto in the center where it was just like booths that you could sit in, not a video booth, like a booth at a restaurant where two people could just go and sit in this thing.
Wow.
There was a trash bag in the center of that.
Oh.
I didn't look in it, didn't want to, never want to know what's in there. I could probably take a couple of guesses. So I go to find a video booth. I walk around the corner. It's really dark. And I run smack dab into a dude he is as black as midnight. I mean, this man, he's an African-American man. He is pitch black, standing above. And I mean, I'm telling you, I might as well have just kissed him. I'm like, whoa, sorry, sir, sorry. He's like, it's okay.
Now, you realize that the only reason people go in there is for, so they're, you know,
it's a hookup center.
Right. And then I mean, I don't know if you were looking for it, but let's just, I'm saying that you're not looking for it. You're just there on recon.
I'm reconning.
Apparently, what you're telling us. Yeah. I don't know.
I spent all day there.
So they don't know that.
They don't. There's just a strapping young lad
walking around.
If
you're in
there,
that's what you're in there for, because that's why people go there.
Yeah. Either you're going in there to the booth to watch whatever's in the booth, or if you're outside of the booth and you're wandering around, you're looking to join someone.
So,
in a buddy booth. So I said, oh, sorry, didn't know it was occupied.
Where's your heart rate at? Where's
pumping,
your mindset?
Pounding.
With what? Nervousness?
I'm the smell.
Sweating, the smell.
It's hot up there. There's no AC. It's upstairs, so heat rises, so you keep it hot.
The urge to flee is overtaking you?
I, in all honesty, no shtick, I spent probably 10 minutes upstairs. Because I finally go into a booth, and I see this. And I'll let you try and describe that as best you can right there.
Oh, that's a stain.
Yep. Oh,
stain.
It was everywhere. It was everywhere. I walked in there and audibly went, oh, God, and left. I walked in the door and saw that. I'm not sure if it had recently been occupied, but someone had a hell of a lunch
Imagine
break.
Taking a black light up into there.
No chance. You wouldn't see anything because everything would be purple.
Blinded, yeah.
Everything would be purple. And they had a selection of videos to watch on the wall. By the way, we're going to put all these videos up or our pictures up, 98online.com.
Yes, I just tweeted a link to our website, or just go to 98online.com to check it out.
Yeah. Why wouldn't the minute I get done, 10 minutes? By the
get
way,
done.
The
what do you mean?
Leave. Yeah. My pants stayed on the whole time.
Hey, you paid your money.
The old lady's like, have a good afternoon, sweetheart. And I go outside and I'm out on the corner. And you know, you got the police precinct to your right, you got the block to your left. And I hear, hey, Schlegel, have fun. Some dude is in a car at the stoplight right there having a real good laugh at your boy. Sees me walking out, my big dumb beard, stupid stance. Guess he listens to the show. Kind of gave away. Love the show! And just drove off in his black Mazda truck the minute I walk out.
Wait,
of course.
And I might have missed it, but because I blacked out through half of this because I just can't comprehend.
It's so gross.
Did you buy tokens and did you use the tokens?
I didn't. You have to buy the tokens to go upstairs. I left them sitting on like a
what
sill.
Do the tokens do? Are there women in there? It's just screen.
It's all videos. There's
it's
no
all
women.
Videos.
It's all videos. It's okay. All videos that you can watch. And they have a coming soon selection. Well, hello there. They have a now playing selection and all this. Of course, Josh gets spotted downtown on WBAL TV 11 News. You get seen with your beautiful family at a farmer's market. Mike's going to get watched this weekend at a fitness expo bodybuilding. And Justin gets caught walking out of a crank shack.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin, Scott, and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Zach, our new executive producer, Mike Anderson, has been fired. Zach, Loud Zach, he's now part of the show. And we did a break earlier in the week where there's a young girl, second year, they've reached out to us about getting help selling her beef steer at a 4-H event, helping these kids raise money. And You know, it's not so much the selling of the beef steer that caught our eye. It's just the fact that this young girl, you'll hear all her details coming up, had just accomplished so much at the age of 12, which made us reflect on ourselves. One of the first things I do when we look like a Wikipedia article about someone that we're interviewing, somebody in the media, someone that Josh will do a story about, I go to, how old are they? Do they have kids? What have they accomplished? And when you read that this person developed this billion-dollar app at 20, they were the manager for this mega rock group, like 21 Pilots' manager is like 25 or something like that. You're just like, oh, God, why wasn't I cut from that stock? And you'll hear us talking about it coming up. What were we up to at 12?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I'm really thinking about it right now for the first time. Like, really, like, is it our parents' fault for maybe not getting us, like, exposing us to a whole bunch of different things and, like, really igniting that passion inside of us or pushing us to do things? Or is it, just this little girl you're going to hear coming up is just, for whatever reason, just came out of the womb with that, you know, genetic makeup that makes her super driven and...
Just cut from better stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because if you focus on your angle there about what if you... There's obviously, I've known friends, I've brought up a kid named Justin Dean all the time, whose parents were super sweet, but they academically rode his ass like a Clydesdale from kindergarten till his senior year. You're going to college, you're getting a 4.0, you're going to be doing studies over the summertime. And the dude turned out to be a genius, and he went to a great school and a full academic scholarship, and he lives a fine life. But then you get those people that have like the tiger moms that push them too hard and they snap. Like, you can bend a kid, but you can't break them.
This is Justin Dean reporting, CBS News, Moscow.
Justin Dean is now a CBS reporter with the Kremlin, and he grew up right off there off of Hamlin Lane with yours truly, and I graduated with a 2.1 GPA and play fart sound effects. Zach, I ask you, where were you, new producer Zach, at the age of 12? Where were you up to, buddy? No need to turn that microphone on.
At the age of 12, I guess I would have been in 7th grade. It was about 8 years ago.
Jesus. You were 12 8 years ago?
Yes.
F*** you.
Oh!
How about that?
Jesus.
How about
Oh, my God. Yeah.
12 years ago. You're 12 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So 20 now, if you do the math. But at that time, I wasn't hugely accomplished at 12. I guess I was okay in high school. In high school, I played three instruments, three brass instruments.
Had a neat instrument you can play.
So you were born in 1997.
4.0 GPA. 1996.
Oh, you float that out there, like in between. 4.0 GPA.
You graduate.
Why are you here?
You're destined for greater stuff than this slop trough. All right. I graduated high school the year you were born.
Oh, he can't help when he's born. We can't get mad at him about
embryo.
That. But all the other stuff, you suck.
You could suck it.
Suck it.
Suck it hard. He's so much more accomplished than we are. Great. The thing that always razzed me during this break, now I work with. Where were you when you were 12 on Behind the Curtain? What the hell were you up to at 12 years old? What the
Spiegel was doing award-winning radio.
Yeah, he was won his way to his first borough.
I was learning to fiddle with my bits.
Yeah. Whoa. I was. Man, one day I'll tell you about my first time doing that. And it's going to be a window into my life that I'm not sure if I'm ready to share on air quite yet.
You have vivid memories of that?
Oh, I know what I was wearing. And
nothing.
I also know what my friend was wearing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's for another day.
Oh, you told us this, I think.
I think I did, yeah. My friend. Maybe at the next Uncensored, I'll tell you about the first time I was fiddling with my Oreo. Yeah. Khakis. So we got ourselves a letter from a young lady here, and
second time she sent us a letter. Her mom came up to us at Jones Junction. Remember,
she's
we were out
great.
There for the Memorial Day sale, and her mom was great. And she's like, "Oh, my daughter's the one that sent you the letter about the cow wanting to buy her cow." And mm-hmm. we were like, "Oh yeah, remember the cow letter?
We ain't making that
like,
buy
oh,
a cow money."
She's gonna send you another letter, and I was like, "Okay, sure, send us another letter." And her name is Ava Grabowski. This is the letter. I'll read it quickly. It says, "My name is Ava Grabkowski. I'm 12 years old, and I'm in the Hartford Stockyards 4-H Club. Mike, you know anything about this?"
I mean, I saw a lot of it when I lived in Hartford County and went to school there,
yeah,
but I was
there.
Never a part of it. But
Hartford Stockyard 4-H Club. I have been in 4-H for 7 years. I am active in 4-H. archery, equestrian events, dog agility, and choir.
Good God, man. What aren't you? Make a list of the stuff you don't do.
I've been on the honor roll every school year, and I was invited to apply for the National Junior Honor Society this year. I am a member of the Maryland Junior Hereford Association and recently was appointed Royal M.D. Junior Hereford Princess.
Wow.
Yes, but at what cost?
Says I sent you a letter last
trail
year.
Of bodies.
I sent you a letter last year about my beef steer, and I would love to talk to you on the radio again about my animals for this year's fair. This year, I have one Angus Hereford cross steer and one Hereford steer. They have been placing well at various cattle shows this year.
A good looking
I will
steer.
Be selling them along with my market goat at the Harford County Farm Fair 4-H Livestock Auction. The auction takes place Saturday, July 29th. I would love for you to come to the auction and bid on my animals and buy one. We're not buying any of your animals.
Honestly,
knock it off.
We are trying to get a billboard off of 83, and we're having to go to a Coinstar. We ain't buying a steer.
Well, oh, I'm sorry.
Please.
These photos appear to be doctored and stolen from the 1930s. They're in black and white.
Okay. That's a photocopy.
I think it was copied.
I got.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that wasn't the original. Oh, there's the original right there. Okay. Oh, disaster
bad.
Averted.
My bad.
God, I would hate to accuse her of forgery.
The money from the sale is going to go to my college fund. I would like to study to be a veterinarian and have my own practice someday. Here are some pictures of my animals. So I did some research and I was going around. And I found the last year's what the animals went for.
The beef steer.
Last year she made where was it? $3,000.
Whoa!
On a, that's nothing. This guy, the top earner, it was a Madeline. How much do you think Madeline sold a piece of livestock for? How much do you think it goes for?
I don't know.
I don't know if this is a total or if this is just one thing. This is beef.
Beef.
This was a beef auction.
Beef.
The following are the results of the 4-H livestock auction on Saturday night. This was last year. Madeline made $17,000.
Whoa!
Beef.
I don't know if that's for one cow. That can't be for one cow, right? She had to sell multiple. I don't know. But 17, almost $18,000. 17.7.
I mean, maybe
kids.
They're going to stud the steer.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you do with it? I mean, if you're studding it, I guess that's a good price.
Beef
is what's for dinner.
You can rub your ass on it. Beef. Clench it between your butt cheeks and run around the house saying, I'm a slutty ribeye. Beef. At least it's not chicken. Beef. If you believe in America. Beef.
You can have a great beef dinner in no time at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, almost no time at all. Beef. It's what's for dinner.
So I think we should get her information out there. If you're looking to buy yourself a...
I was going to take Stella up to this thing, but it's... maybe on Sunday. This goes probably all weekend, right? Because it's fun. They have like little... You know, you can see the animals and stuff like that, and... But we got something going on that day.
What if we treat it like a timeshare? We all go in on it, and like Josh gets a weekend with the steer, and I get one. Like I can't afford a beef steer, but I can afford 25% of a beef steer.
Dibs on the ass.
Is a steer aggressive? I mean, can you have a steer as a pet?
Depends on how much it's been drinking. I mean, I assume they're relatively docile, lest you piss it off.
Well, she's got a market goat, too, Spiegs. Why don't you get a goat? That's probably cheaper.
Yeah, I just don't know where I'd put a goat.
One Angus Hereford cross steer and one Hereford steer. If anybody knows anything about this, call us. We'd love to. We're going to discuss this coming up.
Yeah, you don't want a PG steer.
And a market goat.
Yeah, you got to get those PG steers. A damn thing will steal from you and head off to a local shop.
Angus, that's the beef, right? That's the good stuff.
That's what's for dinner.
Yeah. Spiegs, buy the goat.
Yeah, I think from what I've seen, the many veterinary shows I watch on TV, I think a goat needs a friend.
No, really?
And
I have Pumpernickel.
Yeah, she'd probably be afraid of it.
Oh, my God, she might find a kinship. You could do one of those calendars where it's like a giraffe and a wombat hanging out, a lion and a marmoset.
She'd have an identity crisis.
Oh, my God, she starts to baa, just like one of these things.
I would love to have a farm.
They have long goatees, too. You can brush them. You can brush the things, huh?
Yeah.
You could braid it like Scott Ian from Anthrax. Have some fun with that thing. So, hey,
shout out to Ava, dude. 7 years in 4-H.
One of the best of us.
Archery, equestrian events, dog agility, choir, honor roll, junior honor society. Appointed Royal MD Junior Hereford Princess. I don't know what that means, but congrats.
I mean, she's probably got to get up at, you know, 2 a.m. every morning to feed the livestock.
What? Like you said, what the hell were you doing when you were 12? Our friend Ava, Ava Grabowski. She is once again heading over to the auction. She's selling some livestock. She's 12, accomplished a whole lot in her life, and she's the auction is Saturday, July 29th. And it's at 5 p.m. So if you're in the market to buy some livestock, she's going to have an Angus Hereford cross steer, one Hereford steer, and a market goat. And all the money's going to her college fund. She always, every year, she writes us a handwritten letter and asks us to buy her animals. And we're like, Ava, we can't. We're not in the market for a cow, man.
Well, sometimes we are. And sometimes it's a budget issue. It's always a budget issue. Trust me, we couldn't get a goat at Uncensored, too. There ain't no way we're buying a beef steer. But we love your tenacity, and we want your goat and your cow and your steer and whatever else you have on that Noah's Ark of yours to sell so you can go to Harvard like you deserve to.
And the other thing is, like, we're talking about, okay, she's, like, active in 4-H, archery, equestrian events, dog agility, choir.
She's an archer.
Honor roll. Royal MD Junior Hereford Princess. But the other thing is you know, the wherewithal and the gumption to you know, write a letter to
a local media outlet, yeah, looking for help. It wasn't just like she didn't go ask her neighbors. She's like, where can I put the most ears towards my message? And she chooses the number one rated morning show in all of Baltimore and soon to be D.C., Virginia, Richmond, if we could ever get this whole syndication thing off the ground. Yeah, she's
very impressive. Very impressive young lady.
I'm impressed with her. Her mom was a total angel when she came up to us at Jones. And I'm like, yeah, you know, how about we shine a little light on what she's trying to do? Real quick before we go to the phones, just a quick round robin. Seriously, Mike, where were you at 12? What's 12 years old Anderson doing?
Putting pegs in my BMX bike.
Badass. Damn, really?
Well, that's like middle school age, right? 12, just like about 7th grade.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, 6th,
yeah, I mean, that's
grade.
That's the age when you're all about your bike.
Yeah,
skateboard.
I wasn't doing anything. Much of nothing. I was nothing. I wasn't doing any of this stuff.
I wasn't doing this. No. I was setting off bottle rockets in the woods, and I think I had just gotten my first skateboard. I think I had just met the Eckler brothers off of University Drive, and I'm just pumping back and forth on my board. A Ron Nigge shark deck.
I'm sorry, what?
Ron Nigge.
Ron Nigge what?
Ron Nigge. Ron Nigge shark deck. Such a good board. Mm. Good dude. Yep. Kniggge. It had a shark deck. It looked like, God, let me find this thing for you. The thing legitimately looked like a penis. I'm trying to find the deck that I owned. It had the weirdest head to it. Yeah, there it was. That was my first board right there. Tell me that thing wasn't shaped like a wanger.
Oh yeah, look at that.
That's that. There are some people pronounce the K. I just skipped clean over it.
Somebody texted in and said that at the age of 12, here it is. Let me read this. I was banging our hot babysitter.
Okay, you're also full of ass.
Right, that might be true. I choose to believe.
I feel like, okay, A, if she was hot, she wasn't banging you. If she was a babysitter, it was definitely child touching involved. That's a sad thing. You should probably talk to someone.
Well, if she was
like
underage, too, if the babysitter was 15 and he was 12, or she was like 16.
She was 13, then it was rocking. So, Josh.
Somebody's calling us an a-hole. Says, you guys are a-holes. Buy the steer. We can't.
We don't have the money.
We don't have the money, and we don't have a place to put a cow.
Where do we put the cow? We had a petting zoo on Josh Spiegel Appreciation Day, which I think we're long overdue for a second edition of, out back. We were only able to have that for an hour, and I'm having a fireplace redone. And that took all my money. Where was Josh at 12?
I was volunteering at a radio station. Hell yeah, my first radio gig.
God bless. You've been in the game since day
12.
However many years. I mean, if you think about it, honestly, if you do the math real quick, if you take 365 days times 12 years, since day 4,380, you've been in this
1987.
Month. 1987.
That's August of 1987. That's 30 years next month.
That's.
But who's counting?
Some people didn't know what they want to do until their like late 20s, early 30s. You knew at 12, if not 11 or 10 before that. Wow. It's go to the phones, 410-338-1098. What were you doing? Let's go to Brennan. Thank you for holding, bud.
What's going on, man?
What's up, man?
I actually just wanted to give you guys a little commentary on the 4-H steer prices there.
Yeah.
Those, when they're selling them, I mean, it's like a charity type thing. So they have senators and other people come out and they go nuts. Just because they know it's going to the kids' college funds and stuff like that.
Right.
Oh, that's good. It's
like
so
when
it's
you go to,
cause.
Let's say when you go to like a charity event and there's a silent auction or like some sort of auction, all the prices just get inflated because people know it's for a good cause.
Exactly.
Oh, yep. That's cool.
All right. Well, hey, good time, good cause for good kids. Yeah, when you buy the NPR tote bag for a $500 donation, yeah, that hemp slice of garbage ain't running you $500. You're going towards National Public Broadcasting.
Texter says, when I was 12 or 13, I trained. I got my black belt in Taekwondo. I had to do 1,000 squats and sit-ups in a half hour and other stuff and run 3 miles, and he did it in all in 21 minutes.
Bull.
Wow.
Okay, yeah, that happened. I have a feeling this kid probably did 10 push-ups, blew his shoulder out, went home, played a little Castlevania. I don't think any of that happened. Yeah, I'm getting a lot of messages of like, yeah, I built my first Camaro.
That's a very odd thing to brag about, though. Why would you just make up that weird, like, you know what I mean?
Maybe it's too in-depth to be BS.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
This guy is actually the world's greatest unknown underground bare-knuckle fighter. Let's talk. Man, a lot of 4-H people checking in. Good morning, Travis, York County. What's up?
Yo, first of all, let me say, I look forward to every morning listening to you guys. You guys kick ass.
Thank you so much.
Just hey, gotta tell you that.
York County, God's country, just sir. Some of the best of us in York.
We know about them steer.
Those steers are nutted, so you're not going to stud a steer out. Steers are castrated.
They don't have their,
that's a bull that's,
they don't have their balls.
Yeah, that's a bull that's lost his manhood.
Now, do you eat them balls? Do you fry those up? Where do they go? What do they do with them?
Usually just get thrown out. Usually the dog eats them.
God. They throw them in Mike's face and say, happy anniversary.
Yeah. What else? What do you got? What are you calling about?
What do you got? Well, we're just, I think the world needs to learn a little bit more about farming. I'm a farmer. My wife's a farmer. My wife's family's farms. My wife's grandparents milk cows for 55 years. I mean, we're diehard farmers, but, I think everybody needs to learn a little bit more about farming. Like,
you're 100% right. Hell yeah. It's the, you're the people that
the food
feed,
does not come from the grocery store. You
feed the nation. I mean, I'm putting him on hold. Mike, we're going to get together a council of farmers. We have Farmer Travis, Farmer Josh. I need one more farmer, and we're going to have the Council of Farmers up here at one point.
Yeah. Coming up to the farm, too. Put them on hold. Give me the address.
Yeah. We want to see your spot.
Be there this weekend.
Let's go to Ryan Fairfax. Thank you for holding, bud.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you all?
How are you?
Hey.
Doing great. I just wanted to say that when I was 12, I was roaming around on skateboard and gaming, but Spiegel has been in radio since I was born. That's the month I was born.
Hell yes.
Oh, very good.
Hell
very,
yeah.
Very good.
Very, very good. Had his first burrow when he was 7. What's the deal with ice cream prices?
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Old friend of the show, Truly Scrumptious, returned to the program. She is a transgender listener, started life as a man, transitioning into a woman, and recently made the big jump of getting breast implants. And a tip of that to you, Josh. You didn't gaze at them and like dive upon them to butter them up with Land O'Lakes, you did give them a glance, and I know you are adverse to the human figure. What did you think getting to see? Was that your first set of transgender breasts?
Yeah, I didn't look directly at them because it's like looking at the sun, I've heard. But from my peripheral vision, they looked very impressive. And I really like her positive outlook. She seems very happy, very positive. Something that I am not. And I guess I'm just going to have to, maybe I'll have to learn from her somehow.
Maybe you have to become a woman.
Time to grab you some breasts.
We didn't get into it, but I wanted, because we kind of ran out of time, but you'll hear coming up, this was a long journey. She's not touching the downstairs. That's going to remain intact.
Yeah, I didn't get to ask her about that. I want to know why the decision to keep the stock equipment.
So living as a woman, identifies as a woman, but still has the male plumbing. So I was gonna I was just curious as to how do you navigate the dating scene? How do you do
that? How do you bring that up casually? Yeah. Like, hey, heads up, things are going great.
But
I got a penis.
I have a big old donger. So had you planned on committing one type of act, that act might be committed on you.
I wanted to ask her, too, if having that other, the male equipment is almost more attractive in that community because you have kind of the best of both worlds. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You got a whole bunch of stuff. You have a wide variety to choose from. And I also appreciate you here coming up. You know, the size wasn't gargantuan or garish. They do look normal on her frame.
Yeah.
They're not like gross, gigantic stripper breasts that are flopping everywhere. They do hang natural. And I tell you what, she said, $7,000? Good. $7,000. Good on you. I look good.
And, you know, we're only human and we have our reptilian brain. And it's like you look over and you see this little... You know, mocha body,
mm-hmm.
5 foot what? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
5 foot three maybe. Maybe 110
abs,
pounds.
Nice butt.
Big
then
fat
there's
ass.
Boobs. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
My brain's telling me.
Wait a minute.
And then you go, but, you know, kind of your brain is like a, ooh, whoa.
I was the least confused person in here during that segment.
Yeah. If you passed her on the street, there would be no question in your head that you just passed a woman.
Mike, look at me.
You do a double take. There'd be a double take.
What if no one found out?
I don't know.
Yes!
Coming up, Truly Scrumptious came in with her brand new breasts on Behind the Curtain. Story over the weekend was... If you're into all the pop culture swamp slop stew the way us ninnies are... Funny I should use the word ninny. You had the Blac Chyna versus Rob Kardashian dust up where she's like laying down some dude in his bed. He's like, what the hell? How can you do that? I just bought you a brand new body. I bought you a body, Blac Chyna. $100,000 allegedly.
Where well, they blasted out a whole bunch of nudes of her
yep.
on Instagram, which is illegal. And then, yeah, he's like... I paid $100K for those boobs.
And he was talking about, oh, look what the doctor did. The nipple structure is making everything larger and weirder. Also, come to find out, Blac Chyna went to school in Charles County, Maryland, where yours truly drew breath as a baby. So, Charles County, between Good Charlotte, Justin Schlegel, and Blac Chyna, keep kicking ass. She went to Lackey High School, and you did not want to go to Lackey High School. Biggie. So the conversation began to bubble up, like, wait a minute, $100,000 for breast augmentation surgery? And then it came in, like, okay, it's for a bunch of stuff, but he spent, like, tens of thousands of dollars on a set of breast implants, and women started checking in, saying, I had breast augmentation surgery. You spent $20,000-$30,000, you got ripped off. The doctor charges $6,000 and went to Reno with the remaining $24,000. What the hell?
Yeah.
And then an old friend of ours checked in. Truly Scrumptious, good morning to you, love. Glad to have you back here
good
on the
morning.
Show.
Good morning. It's good to be back. It's good to see everybody.
It's, glad to
it's
see,
been a while.
We're glad to see you as well. You're one of
Dare
our...
I say the voice is the voice...
It's lightening.
Light, getting lighter?
I don't know.
Is that a thing? Maybe, I mean, could it be?
Could be. I'm not going to deny it, but maybe.
Have there been hormones?
Always. Until the day I die.
Because I think we first met
so,
you.
So obviously you just keep going with it. Because it sounds lighter and higher.
It does. Your voice does sound different. I'm glad you picked up on that. The inflection in your voice is, it's a higher pitch.
Could be because I'm happier now that I got breast implants.
Yes, yes you do. And they are. Glorious. Yes.
So, yeah, you checked in. You're like, hey, I just got a set. And not $100,000.
No, I think they cost me about $7,000 or $8,000, roughly around there.
Now, you started life as a man. You've transitioned into a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You've done hormone therapy. Now you've done the breast implants. You're one of our beloved transgender listeners. We're a very progressive show here. And this is not a traditional, by, you know, in current standards, one day it might be, breast implant. Usually it's a woman getting an augmentation, whether it's to increase or decrease breast structure. But you're starting life as a man with male pectoral. But then now you transition into a woman through the hormone therapy and all that. Actually, the last time we saw you with the hormone therapy, breasts were beginning to lightly form.
Yeah.
They were already there.
They were there, but still.
At that point, I was on hormones for like, it's been 7 years now, so it's probably
You
five,
remember the itty-bitty
six.
Committee.
Oh, yeah, I was definitely part of that.
Yeah. But you said, I'm going all in. I got the cash. I'm a working woman. Let's go ahead and buy these things. And what size did you go with?
Well,
before you say, you want to let Scott guess because he's going to
guess. Oh, yeah, sure. He can guess.
Let me see. Stand up. Did you see, Spig, did you check out this whole package going on? Look at them shorts. The shorts are barely.
Wow.
Truly. God, put on some clothes. Those shorts are like non-existent.
I mean, I was listening to the Josh's,
now,
you know,
weather. You still have the downstairs parts, right?
I do.
For now.
So it's very, very well.
Always.
Oh, you're going to keep that? You're going to keep that equipment? You're going to keep that stock equipment?
Absolutely.
Damn, I was
so that's not going anywhere.
Get that from you.
Okay.
Get an upgrade on my end.
Those are pretty, I mean, you've got a tiny little, is that a 30, 32, I'll say, just because you're so tiny, those got to be like a big C, small D.
Yeah. That's...
He's almost batting 1,000 on this,
pretty
man.
Good,
that's good. Well, I went to the doctor and I told him, you know, I want like a B because of what I do. And he was like, okay, cool. But he was like, you know, if you give me permission, I'll kind of do what looks best for you. And I was like, yeah, you know, but give me a D or a B.
Give me
and
a D. I'll take
I
the
went
B.
And like got measured. And they were like, yeah, you're a 36 double D. And I was like, wait, what?
Whoa.
What?
Well, they do fit your frame very well.
Yeah.
It's like, do you ever watch Botched?
Of course.
All the time.
I can watch 70% of Botch. They get to surgery, I flip over to Mickey Mouse Clubhouse and come back just to see the aftermath. But you get the people that decided to go like quadruple H and their back's about to snap or you get them wonky.
Right.
You get ones that don't fit your frame.
Right.
And those fit your frame.
Yeah. I mean, when they were a lot bigger like once you come like fresh come out of surgery. And then I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like these. And then once the like, swelling goes down.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're 100% happy.
Now, let me ask you. I mean, we're having fun. We're, you know, boobs and guys. You know how that goes. And we're goofy and stupid. But in terms of your journey, right? Okay, so you said the downstairs is going to remain the same.
Yep.
So now you worked on the upstairs. How big of a step was this for you in terms of, you know, getting to where you feel like your truest self? Had to be a huge, this is just bigger than a boob job.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that this was like my final step. I am happy. I am great. I can go.
Did you weep
swimming.
A little? Did you cry?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I
when
cried.
You came out of surgery and you finally kind of looked down, like, oh my god, my yum yums are so tasty.
I couldn't really like look down at first. That was my life.
Right?
Can you see them when you walk? Is it weird? Do you look down? You're like, oh
it's
my god,
so
those
weird.
Weren't
I'm
there
like,
a year
do you
before.
Just stand in the mirror and stare at them.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Like, out of the shower, awesome. I'm just standing there, and I'm like, huh, this is weird.
Because
like,
you started life as a man. You always hear guys joke around like, hey, if I had a set of breasts, I'd just feel them up all day long. I'm like, do you find yourself, like, copping a feel on yourself?
Oh, yeah, all the time. No matter what.
Oh, God bless you.
I will, even at work sometimes, I'll just be walking around.
Mike, it's time!
What are we doing? It's
frost
time for what?
The windows.
Are they getting whipped out?
Frost
maybe?
The windows.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, well, I asked her off. Frost the windows. The live wire operator, steer the camera away from our guests. Mike, guard the door. Truly, may we see your brand new scrumptiouses.
Absolutely.
Josh, close your eyes.
Wow.
Oh, that's a nice prong.
Oh, yeah, you can see it before.
God, that already looks good.
They did a good job. You got a good
see,
surgeon.
See, now, this is weird for me because you still have your man parts. Like, but
which
you're,
I'd like
but
to see
you live
also.
As a woman, and this is like...
Oh, there they are! Wow, that's the stuff!
They're even impressive in my peripheral vision.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
they're nice.
I'm very shy, so I can't look.
I love them.
All right. She's like, you mean now resheath the avocado?
Very nice.
Right,
I love
fantastic.
Them.
That's great surgery.
Yeah.
That's a good job. Nothing about those really screams. Like, you've seen probably some bad stripper $1,000 boobies before. They look like they're made out of, like, aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've seen those, and I've also seen Botched a numerous amount
botched.
Of time.
Yeah. Terry DeBros. No. I got a man crush. Hey, so when did... I mean, we've probably already been down this road, but, like... when did you first know, growing up as a man, that you were not, that wasn't who you were meant to be?
I mean, it's...
I'm just trying to figure out, like, how long of a journey, because if this is the last step, and, you know, is
11.
There anything else that you...
No, I mean...
Is this
I'm
so since 11 up until, what's your age, how old are you now?
20, I'm 27 now.
Okay, so 15, 16 years.
I can't wait to start my journey.
You know?
Yeah, I mean,
Mike, pack me a bag!
Is there something you want to tell us?
No.
Are you sure?
Maybe I'm doing research. Yeah, those... Yeah, that's a great question.
I mean, right, 16 years. It's a this. I mean, this is like a culmination. This is big.
It's been a long time coming. It's. I mean, honestly, it's just been fun. I'm not gonna lie. And there are some people who like have this really tough time. For me, it was the most easiest thing in the world. I gotta be honest.
I had a lot of support, obviously.
Friends. Family, not so much. They're coming around slowly.
And you're not trying to have anybody like slap this whole hero label on you and put a cape on me. You're just like, I'm doing me. I'm living my life. I'm trying to be the best me. That's
exactly.
It. And I will not ever bring it up, hint as to what you do. But if people did know what you did and who you
How's
are.
How's that been?
Because you do a job that is pretty great. And there are some people that are going to rely on you one day in a moment of need. That's pretty kick ass.
Mm-hmm.
So how's that been?
It's been fun. It was tough at first.
No backlash, issues.
I'm kind of stealth. To be honest.
On the sly. Gotcha.
Probably not after this.
On the DL.
Way DL.
Now,
yes, that's how I live my life.
Let me ask you a question like this, okay? You can do the hormones.
Parking garage.
You can do the surgeries, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of acting ladylike or like a woman or things that would be construed as maybe feminine, have you had to like practice or have you like done anything in the way of like, maybe I should be a little more
good morning everybody.
I don't know like whatever maybe you think in your mind that like, maybe I should work on that a little more.
What do you think of my new boobies?
be a little more feminine that way or this way, or have you ever
I don't care enough, I guess, is the correct term. I mean, I just kind of do what I need to do. I mean, it probably helps that I'm not the most masculine person.
I was
going to
say, you don't
have
kind of like an aggro presence to yourself anyways. You just sort of, lightly glide into and out of a room to begin with.
Oh, you know who was like that? My college girlfriend, Anita Handy.
Jesus.
That was Anita? She was real...
Anita Handy was... so carefree. She was a free spirit.
She really was.
You remind me of
live her best life.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
A little from column A, a little from column penis. Yes. Oh, fantastic. Well, hey, we're happy. You're happy. They look great.
I am fantastic.
One day when you can come up here and share what you do, which we're obviously always locked down, it's great. You do have one of the more admirable professions in the world. You really had a lot of trouble saying admirable professions.
Yes.
And it's you can just imagine just some close-minded hayseed son of a bitch having to realize that you're the person in their time of need.
Hey.
Okay, I'm cool with you now. I'm cool with you now. I love you.
All right, high five.
Where do I get a set?
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
The 2017 Hot Car PSA is in the books. We did it the day before yesterday. Every year, Josh upstairs, TV downstairs, has to do more stories than they wish they would about somebody leaving a kid, a pet, in a hot car. And you'll hear all about it coming up, but you touched on something so lightly that we didn't have enough time to focus on. I wish we did more, which is why we're doing this now. Is the sometimes... I left my keys sitting on the coffee table, left the coffee sitting on the hood. Forgetfulness that this stuff results from. It's not even like a malicious act. It's a, oh my God, the baby's in the car.
Yep.
Well,
the most famous one that I'll never forget in my life, because Spiegel and I are and were and still are huge Oprah fans.
Huge.
And there was that famous story of the woman who had her morning routine. Right. And it got thrown off just a little bit because I guess one of the kids was sick or something. So she didn't have to go to this one place. So the normal stop she would make and the normal sequence she would make got thrown off. She thought she had dropped the baby off of the car, didn't discover the baby was in the back of the car until she went back out, I think, for lunch or something. So it had been a number of hours and it was just a mistake. It was an innocent mistake. She had just forgotten. And it's like, it's just,
God,
some people go, like you said, they'll purposely, I'm just going to run into the store real quick and leave a dog in the car, and they do it purposefully. But then even still, who knows what happens in the store? You get caught up in line, you get you lose track of time. You know what I mean? Next thing I know, you're in the car, you're in the store for 45 minutes. You thought you were going to run in, I'll be in and out in 5, and you're in there for 35. That went up. It went up 20 degrees in about 20 minutes.
You'll hear this coming up. You say it goes up a degree a minute for the pretty much the moment you got in the car. Oh, do you have, by the way, we didn't get a chance to do it. You got your vitals in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Read your vitals real quick before we jump.
Well, going into it, my blood pressure was a little high because I was nervous. It was 146 over 97.
Well, my medicine brings mine down to that.
but my pulse was 91.
Okay.
Then that was at right around 825. Then at 9 o'clock, my pulse went from 91 all the way up to 123. So it skyrocketed. My blood pressure settled down a little bit. I think it was the anticipation leading up to it that had me up. When I was in the car, it was 123 over 87, which is damn near perfect.
Mm.
Which is damn near perfect.
I would beg for blood pressure That's like that. Mine is through the roof. Well, hear about it. Scott did it. Our annual PSA, being trapped in a hot car. He did it. The video is up. Facebook.com/JSS98Rock and 98Online.com. It's behind the curtain. The countdown to Scott getting in a hot-ass car right now. WBAL TV 11 News is going to be our annual hot car PSA. Mike's done it. Josh has done it. I've done it this year. Scott is queued up to do it. And last year, I was cooled and refreshed with a big old jar full of...
your favorite.
Blue cheese dressing. Oh, and I think we decided this year, if we can get him out there in time, are we going to get Zach off to the grocery store?
He might be able to just go downstairs. Well, I was thinking about it.
Yeah, there's like clam chowder and different soups down there.
Yeah, just get me like some cold, like one of them little things that you put in the microwave.
But yeah, I was just outside getting things in position.
Let me guess, it's hot out.
Oh my God. It's like already unbearable outside. Everybody working outside today, I feel for you. Yeah, it's the humidity. And it, I mean, it is hot, too, on top of that, but it is so freaking humid out there.
I may have to bail early. We'll see how long I last.
Well, if you don't last...
I don't want to put myself in danger. I have a family to worry about.
And you succumb to the heat and to the steam and to the thermometer that we're placing between your butt cheeks, because that's the thing we're definitely doing. JT, our EMT, JT the EMT, is going to be able there to help you out. JT, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
We'll see you in about an hour. Scott Reardon
gets us out
of the
car. What are you talking about? They're 10 minutes away.
Well, we'll see how you're doing in an hour.
Yeah. I thought you meant to see him in an hour. Where are you? Are you here? Why is he on the phone?
Yep, we're out in the front parking lot waiting for you guys.
Okay, you're all out there set up already. Good.
Are you going to take Scott's vitals? Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
vitals.
How are we doing
ahead of time? Because then we can compare it. After he's done. I mean, do you think that's a good idea?
So what we're going to do is we have a cardiac monitor out here that we're going to have him hooked up to through the entirety of him being in the car.
Whoa, it's going to
take
real
every 10 to 15 minutes and just kind of monitor him the whole way through so we can kind of see the progression as the heat starts to affect him and whatnot.
Damn, this is getting real, Mike. Oh, you tell me this is getting like this real. I got cardiac monitors and stuff now.
Hey, look, we
used to just be
safe.
A funny bit.
Yeah. Have you ever dealt with this before, JT? Have you ever been called to the scene
right?
of someone locked in a car?
Not necessarily locked in a car. We do deal with a lot of heat exhaustion throughout the summer. As the temperature rises, it's just something that comes with the time of year.
Right. And like, what? Let's do this for the people out there. What are the signs of heat exhaustion?
So you're going to start seeing a lot of disorientation. Somebody's going to be real dizzy, real nauseous. Their breathing's going to speed up. Some people, they could start having seizures or vomiting and ultimately become unconscious.
Great.
Oh, my God.
And how do you treat heat exhaustion?
Just kind of rapid cooling. Just get them cooled down as quick as you can. Hydration's a big thing, too. You don't want to drink too fast because that'll make you start vomiting as well. But just getting them cooled down is the biggest thing.
We'll have Mike outside the car with a big bucket.
Yeah.
So if you pass out, we'll just douse you in
big
water.
Big old bucket of hot water splash on your heads up. He splashes you with gross hot soda.
We're, I guess, when am I heading down, Mike?
As soon as we go to commercial break here.
I got to get changed. I got to put on my gray, I got a gray shirt and gray shorts so we can see all the sweat marks.
Now, it needs to be said also.
I got a meat thermometer that's going to be placed in a special place.
Yeah, we're going to just kind of wedge that between your butt cheeks. We're going to keep that off the TV portion. We're going to kind of make that a 98 Rock exclusive.
Well, I think they're going to be down there filming and just getting audio, and then they can edit what they see. We're going to do our show, okay? We're not going to edit for TV, and then they will take it upon themselves to leave that portion off.
Yeah, just, you know, edit around.
Yes.
Mosaic Scott's ass. We're making predictions in here, too. JT, feel free to chime in. Is it going to be hotter in the car with the thermometer on the dashboard, or is the meat thermometer in between Scott's ass cheeks? Will it be hotter? I say it's going to be 10 degrees cooler.
Whoa.
Because it's outside of the direct light of the sun. But you're also talking to a guy that thought that Gallaudet University was a school for the blind, and it's actually a school for the deaf, and I have 1,000 assholes tweeting me about that right now who are currently getting blocked. So I don't know what I'm talking about.
So will my butt be 10 degrees cooler, do you think, or will the car be cooler?
I'm gonna say your butt's definitely gonna be cooler.
Okay,
like he said, out of direct sunlight.
Right, it's a very good point. Hey, this is science. This is why we're doing this. We're gonna figure it out. We're gonna see now.
Yeah, stand out there in a lab coat, Mike. All right. Well, JT, thank you for stepping up. What's in your bag? What do you got with you?
So we have a fully stocked ambulance sitting out here waiting in case worse comes to worse.
We're gonna need it.
We got a plethora of supplies to handle whatever comes our way.
Watch. Scott's gonna be fine, but I'm gonna be sitting in the cold studio. But I'm gonna be so stressed out about this that I'll have to be taken away.
I think I'll be fine.
Clear.
It's not like I'm locked in there. I can always just open a door if I have to.
Do you have paddles? Do you have defibrillator paddles?
They're not paddles, but we do have defibrillators.
Oh, okay. How did the defibrillator work without a paddle? I just know the thing where you warm them up with the
clear,
base, clear, blang, and you hit them in the chest.
Yep, they're just stickers, pretty much, that send electrical jolts through, get you bumping right again.
Oh yeah.
All right. Can we stop talking about all this?
Sure.
This
I have awesome. A weird question.
God,
real
what the
quick.
Hell,
JT? Have you ever performed CPR on a dog?
What?
Not on a dog. But I have not.
You've learned how to do that, though, right?
Yeah, the basics of it. Yeah.
I'm just curious. I was looking that up the other day because every dog owner should know how to perform CPR on a dog.
Are you prepared in case you need to with Scott to perform open heart surgery on him? Are you
not
prepared?
Okay,
not at all.
All right.
Are you?
I don't think you should do it. Then.
Prepared.
All right.
To give him his last rites.
This is not supposed to be funny. This is supposed to be an informative PSA to people, telling them the dangers of being in a hot car.
We got to make sure this guy's equipped with everything he needs to do in a worst-case scenario where your head explodes like that film Scanners.
I'm also very large in the pants. I don't want you to be alarmed if that happens to come into play.
Yes, don't be worried. But if worse comes to worse, we need you to resuscitate the penis first.
Oh, my God.
First. Hear me first. If he suffers brain damage, goes blind, his heart seizes up on him, For Chiquita's sake,
yes.
Bring back the weenus.
And if there's any chance, for whatever reason, you think I'm not going to pull through, you lop it off and put it on ice immediately. Immediately.
So we can send it to the
Smithsonian. It needs to live on.
Yes.
On another human.
So we could remove the spirit of St. Louis from inside of the Air and Space Museum and replace it with Scott's dismembered wanger.
You lop it off and you drop it in a glass of milk.
Oh.
Isn't that what you do?
Yes, that's what you do.
All right.
Very good. Thank you so much, JT. We'll see you downstairs, buddy.
Yep, see you soon.
There he goes. All right. There you are. JT, our EMT. Scott Reardon, our hero.
Good luck. Godspeed.
Godspeed. Godspeed to you. There he goes. Good man. Good man. Scott Reardon. Doing the Lord's work. Going to him now. He is down in the car. Scott Reardon's turn. It is Scott in the car downstairs. Scott, can you hear us okay?
I can. Can you hear me okay?
You are just as clear as a bell. How you feeling? Buddy. How you doing so far? How you holding up?
Good. I've probably been in here, God, I don't know, maybe like 10, 15 minutes. And it's hot. I'll tell you that. No breaking news. It's hot. It's right now, we got the outside temperature and the inside temperature. The outside is 90.7. And when I got in the car, it was 87 degrees, and it's already up to 99. It's gone up 12 degrees. And it's going up about a degree a minute almost. It's insane how quickly it's going up. It's 99.5 degrees in here already.
And you got the windows rolled up. You got everything. You're sealed shut, right?
Sealed completely shut. And like Mike said earlier on the show, you get this weird claustrophobia, hot. This is like the air is hot. You're breathing hot air. You're exhaling hot air. It's unpleasant, to say the least.
How's the sweat been so far?
No real sweat. I am not sweating, which is odd. There's no real, maybe a little bit of brow sweat, but that's about it. The chest still feels kind of dry. The butt is a little dry. And I haven't, we have the other thermometer that we were going to insert.
Uh-huh.
and I haven't. I figured I'd wait to do that, and maybe I should do it now. You know, it's just weird because like BAL has a camera. I mean, you're going to edit this out. He can hear me. I have a BAL mic on. I have to like slide this in between my butt cheeks in front of this man here.
Yeah, for those that are right just now, tuning in, he's got a temperature on the dashboard. He has a thermometer so we can see how hot it is in the car. And just for, you know, giggles, we put a meat thermometer down the back of his pants near his ass just to see what the what
I'm about to insert
like.
It.
Oh, here it goes.
Got to insert it.
Facebook.com/JSS98Rock. Oh, look at that needle. I'm looking at it right now. Look at the size of that thing.
Very pointy.
That thing's got a pointed tip.
Oh, God. Hold on.
All right, go ahead.
You know, the 2010 car of the year is not as roomy as you think when you're trying to insert an anal probe.
Here it goes.
Jesus. Wait, hold on. Oh, God. Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh.
How far are you going?
All the way.
All the way, baby. What do you mean, how far?
There it is.
You know how we do. Oh! Whoa! It went up. It was 88 degrees. It went up 7 degrees just being in my butt cheeks.
Wow.
It went 95 degrees. My ass is 95 degrees right now.
But your ass is cooler, because the theory that I had and that the EMT, JT, had, that it's actually going to be cooler in your ass than it is in the car.
Well, I have that thing. Let me make sure it's like really. Hold on. Let me get it. Get it good.
Oh, so how do you? How do you know?
How do I know what? Go ahead.
How do you know the temperature in your buttocks? I guess is it? I guess I'm thinking of the kind of little thermometer that, you know, you use when you're a kid.
No, this is a remote. This is a remote meat thermometer that you use to like grill with.
Oh.
So it has a. It has a wire. God, it is sharp. Ow! It has a wire. It has a wire that's attached to it that is right here if you look on Facebook Live. So my butt, it's backwards, but my butt is 96 degrees, Justin, and the car is 103. Whew.
Also, so oh, wow, it's up above, it's above 100 degrees already. You haven't even been there all that long, and you bought special attire for this. Describe what you're wearing.
I went out and bought a very thin gray shorts and a very thin gray T-shirt because we all know gray will show the most sweat. So we're hoping to get some good sweat marks if I really get going here. But it's 104 now. It went up another degree in the last 30 seconds.
Oh, man.
God, it goes up so quick.
Well, hello there. We're
104.4.
It sounds like a new pop station. You're going to be in the car up until around 9 o'clock. EMT, JT, he's right there by your side.
Well, we've talked about it with Franciotti on the TV and you know, this isn't really a, we're not, you know, this isn't like a, we're trying to set a record, can he stay in until a certain time? This is more or less a PSA. We're trying to let the people know, you know, just describe what happened. So if it does get too hot and I feel the need to bail before 9, trust me, I'll pull the ripcord, but we'll see how far we can go.
Did we get you anything to refresh with? Last year you had
nope.
Me eating blue cheese. You didn't get nothing. We didn't do the big tub of pudding. You're just you and your sweat.
Just me and my 105. It's 105.3 now. It's literally going up degree a minute almost. No, there's nothing in here. I guess our producer Mike just he doesn't like me that much. So F you, Mike.
Wow.
Left me here with nothing to refresh myself.
As I watch Josh take a big, huge swig off of an ice cold bottle of Deer Park water right now, and I'm gonna go get
F
one
you.
Of those get one of those big Dumpster's Dairy Pops that I have out of the freezer. Gonna give it a couple of licks, see how long it takes to get to the center. Scott, stay safe. Tap on the window if you need any help. We're going to check back in with you after sports and WBAL TV 11.
106.
Oh, my God. Scott Reardon, he is in the car. Facebook.com/JSS98Rock, where you can watch the live stream for our annual Hot Car PSA. Scott Reardon is down there right now. He's been in there just a little under an hour, but fast approaching 1 hour in the hot car doing the annual Hot Car PSA. Scott, I am watching the Facebook live stream, and you have gone from a dry, light gray shirt to a drenched, creamy, slathered shirt.
Yeah, I don't know what Facebook live stream this is, but Justin Scott and Spiegel, I guess.
Yeah, Facebook.com/JSS98Rock.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll have it up later, but you're absolutely right. I got in the car, I guess, beginning of the 8 o'clock hour. It was 87 degrees in here. We had the doors open. It was kind of the same temperatures outside because we had the doors open. We were setting stuff up. Closed the doors, and, I mean,
the temperature has just climbed and continued to climb. Right now we are at 114 degrees inside the car. And it's 90 degrees outside. It's 24 degrees hotter in this car. And keep in mind, this is only 8:50 in the morning, right? If this is 3 or 4 in the afternoon, the day has heated up to the way it's going to heat up, you know, to its, the highest it's going to get, it's going to be absolutely excruciating.
Besides physical symptoms, are you getting delirious? Any sign like hallucinations? Anything like that?
No speaks, no hallucinations yet. My mouth's getting a little dry. I will say that. I think it's because I'm sweating so much. I may be dehydrating just a tad, but I still feel like I have my mental faculties about me.
Now I remember last year. Oh, please continue.
Well, we have the meat thermometer in my butt cheeks, which is we're monitoring my my ass temperature as well.
Oh, give us an update on the ass.
It's only 96 degrees.
Oh,
cool, 96.
Huh? So if you're trapped in a car, get help or find a way to hide in someone's ass. It might buy you an extra 30 minutes. When you get in, do me a big favor. And I did this. I did not do this last year. I got a wicked effing headache last year. I mean, it felt like my brain was trying to just its way clean out of my skull. The minute you get in, a bunch of water and take a handful of those generic Excedrin that we have.
I was going to say that's a classic dehydration sign, man. You got to get all these. I mean, I'm just losing fluid. I mean, I'll do the Facebook Live again. If you go to Facebook Live, I'll hold up my my arm. And sometimes I can catch the light just right. I don't know if you guys are on there, but you can see right there. It's just dripping down. You'll see it. It's insane.
God,
and I don't have anything to refresh me. They're doing my blood pressure and my vitals every 10 minutes, so I guess we're good. But
yeah, how's your blood pressure doing? Are you getting readings? Like, is it going up? Is it dropping?
I can't see the monitor. They have it facing the window because the EMTs are outside, so they're obviously monitoring through the window, but they haven't alarmed me to anything. So we're at 114, 90 degrees outside. Woo!
You had Commissioner Davis stop by the looks of it, at JSS98 Rock. You had the commish. He's over at WBIL 1090. He stopped by, tap on the window, say what's up.
Yeah, he's checking on his boys. You know, we're boys, so he's making sure Justin Scott and Spiegel are all right. We're doing okay. There's a PSA, baby, for the people.
Oh, buddy, yeah.
Like a light, you guys obviously can't see outside, but it's like this light cloud cover. It's like a thin layer of clouds have rolled in just to knock the sun down enough, but once the sun breaks through, I mean, it heats up so quickly. It's amazing.
Can you imagine from the stories that Josh has done where
no.
It hasn't been someone that's been in there? You've been in there just under an hour. Maybe we're fast approaching just exactly an hour. Where you've heard the stories that Josh has done, someone left in there from like noon until 3, 4, 5,
right.
6, 7 hours. You're 1 hour in, and your body is already purging itself of all its fluids. You're already getting yourself in a miserable state, and you're a larger man to your full grown adult. You're over 6 foot tall. You got some meat on your bones. Could you imagine a child, an infant, a pet, some baby that's like trapped inside of a car seat or something like that?
And sometimes it's an accident, you know what I mean? Your day gets disrupted and it's hectic and you step out of the car not even thinking. I mean, look, if it's a little simple thing you can do this, you know, for the rest of the summer is maybe, you know, every time you get out of your car, just glance into the back seat. Make sure, you know what I mean, you didn't forget. It happens. Life gets busy, man. Like, you know what I mean? And it has happened. We've heard the stories, that woman on Oprah that left her kid in a car because her morning routine just got disrupted just a little bit, and she thought she had dropped her kid off. Just glance into the back seat, make sure your car is clear. Don't leave a freaking dog in here. Are you kidding me? Being covered in fur? What?
Yeah, I can only imagine that. Or like an old person all covered in, like, you know, some knit sweater and liver spots. Joining us in the studio now, Ava from WBAL TV 11. Scott's down there on the misery meter that Josh copyrighted for you guys. Where do you think Scott is on the misery meter right now?
Stupidly dangerous.
Stupidly dangerous?
No, he's doing a great thing. But I mean, in general, that kind of temperature is so extreme. I was just outside the car and I was sweating so much I had to come in.
didn't want to ruin my hair.
You're outside. Yeah, you're outside of the car for a couple of minutes. This guy's been in there for an hour.
Ugh.
Did you see his shirt?
Yeah.
And it's not like workout sweat. It's not like centered around the
whole
pecs and
body.
The pits. His whole shirt, it looks like he just crawled out of like a pool.
Is that his car?
It's Mike Anderson's, the 2010 car of the year, the waiting room on wheels.
So you're planning to shampoo it after
sweat
this.
All over it.
Oh, God, that is so foul.
So 96 is going to be the high today?
Yes.
And with the humidity?
At about 5 to 10 degrees for the heat index. Yeah. So it could feel like as hot as 105 in the city this afternoon.
Well, nice going, Mike.
Way to go. All right, Scott, how much longer do you have in the car before you're gonna punch out and hop back in and join us? Are you just about done?
You tell me. I don't know. I'm just sitting here, man. I mean, where's Mike? Where's our producer? What does he want?
No, Zach's the producer now. Mike's gone MIA. I'd say you've done your time in the trenches. I did an hour. Josh did an hour. Mike did 20 minutes. You've done an hour. So why don't you go ahead and tell everyone on that Facebook live stream, thank you all so much for joining us. Make your way back up here. You've got sponsors to read, so we need you to
okay,
come
okay.
on up. Take care of yourself. Scott Reardon, ladies and gentlemen, doing the Lord's work. Huh? WBAL TV 11 News, thank you so much for helping us get this taken care of today. But thank you for also being down there alongside Franciotti.
Oh, yeah. It was fun to kind of taunt him from the outside, I'll say. Do I have time to say one important
Absolutely.
Thing? Absolutely. So it's a hot day. It's pretty obvious that we shouldn't leave a pet or a child in a car like today. But it tells you just how quickly it can warm above the air temperature, regardless of what it's like outside. So even on a 70-degree day, it can get to 100 degrees in about 20 minutes. So you may think, hey, it's 70 out, it's nice, I can leave my dog in the car while I run an errand. Not the case. It can become dangerous, even in that short errand that you might run.
Yeah,
so I hope
to
that's what people learn.
The first part of this break, Scott was saying it was going up a degree a minute. Mm-hmm. For the first 15 minutes he was in there, it went up 15 degrees.
And it was only in the 80s at that point, which is a bearable temperature, but not inside of a car.
Yeah, I don't think people quite grasp how that ecosystem works inside of there, just that big, gross greenhouse effect.
Do you want to hear about it? Do you have time?
Take it away, Ava Marie.
So, the energy comes in with sunlight in short wavelengths, passes through the glass, it gets absorbed by all of the materials in your car, like your seat, your dashboard, and then it gets re-emitted as long-wave radiation, which cannot travel through the glass, so it gets trapped in there. So energy comes in, and it can't come back out, which is why it heats up so quickly. And that's The More You Know.
Ha! You got to do that again. I didn't understand any of it.
Now, Scott was talking about how there's a layer of clouds, and does the heat get trapped under the clouds? Is that what you just said, or is that something different?
Well, the Earth has a greenhouse effect, too.
Okay, right.
Because we have an atmosphere that traps the heat. Same concept here.
Because I know that I've heard that when it's there's no clouds at night, when it's clear, it gets really cold.
He's always paying attention. I'm always impressed by Josh.
Oh, well,
yeah, Josh has been a radio since he was 12 and graduated college. All right, I was told ketchup was a food group when I was growing up.
But no, you're right. Clouds can retain the heat. But on a day like today, the clouds actually help out with the car situation because it's blocking some of the sun.
Oh, okay.
And it's that sunlight getting through that goes into the car, makes it hotter. So the cloud cover is working a little bit. Even as you're out walking today, the times when the clouds are overhead, it's going to feel a little bit better than when it's sunny.
Is that haze? Is that pollution?
No, what we're seeing is just cloud cover.
Oh, okay. All
right. You should have seen, man, out west when the sun would have to come through the clouds and burn the smog off. Like it cooked the funk out of the air. So before the sun would rise, you'd get up to go to work in the morning at 5 a.m., 5:30 before the sun rose, and you saw this thick red orange Blade Runner futuristic glop of mist in the air. Like, I'm breathing that right now.
Some of that is dust, but a lot of it is pollution.
I don't want any of it in me. And it was funky and it was foul. And Eva, we thank you so much. Tell Jennifer Franciotti, we thank you very much also.
And thanks for doing this.
Oh, thank you.
Great PSA.
It was all Josh's idea.
No, it was not my idea.
Scott did not want to do it. Kicking and screaming, we had to drag him.